people. This is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
Live here, high atop the city of Chicago in the WGN Allstate Skyline Studio here on 720 AM and on CLTV. Mm-hmm. It should be pointed out. We never point that out enough, and
no.
We should point it out. As I've been hearing from executives.
They're telling you. Did you get a memo?
I did. Mm-hmm. You know, more of a verbal tongue lashing, I think, would be a better way of putting that.
Were there other items on that agenda?
Yeah,
things you're not doing well enough? Woo!
Yeah. There's all kinds of things.
No. Yeah. I've gotten compliments from City Hall. They have us on in City Hall. So if you're
at
there.
At the CLTV?
Yeah.
You know where else we get compliments? In the intake center at County Jail. They love us there.
You get the same mail I do, the prison mail.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. Well, they sit around. They all have to sit around in like a big holding area before they get processed.
Right, and they don't get to really choose what's on. What's on is what's on.
And it's a CLTV, and that's what they do.
I've never got any compliments from there.
Well, you feel bad about that, do you?
Well, our camera angles are similar to those inside the prison as well.
Yeah, so they
very
mugshot
like,
style.
Hey, that looks just like me. I'm writing letters in my cell.
Very true. I just recently described it again to a critic that this does sometimes appear to be a robbery to 7-Eleven if you watch it.
Totally does. So sort of the bright fluorescent light on top from up above.
Yes,
up lighting.
Yeah.
But now we have some natural light coming.
It is
in,
much better than Tribune Tower.
Tribune Tower was like a dungeon.
Yeah, it was a bit. There was that. Hey, all right, I got to
plugging it hard.
Yeah, I know. Watch the CLTV.
Yeah, just watch it.
Just watch it. Right, exactly. Well, actually, just listen. I think that's the most important thing. Listen on the radio. You can watch it on the TV. You can see the whole thing going. I get a lot of comment on it now, though.
You do?
More so than I used to.
On the CLTV?
Yeah, and I think it has to do with and people going over the top now, deciding that they're going to ditch their cable and they're going like internet or something.
Well, the fact that the Jason Van Dyke trial was carried live there, I think, brought a lot of people there because it was one of the few places you could watch it.
As we just mentioned, Jane Manzoors, who is a great television host, Emmy nominated this year, I might point out.
That's right.
I only know that because I poured over the list looking for my own name and didn't find it.
You did. I thought your name was on that list.
Not a lot.
No.
So the Jane Manzoors is on that, and she's constantly doing a yoga pose. And if that's not good, I'm going to tell you something right now. That is killer television right there. Because she literally does there's one that keeps playing over and over and over again of her doing a yoga pose with a goat standing on her back.
The goat yoga?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's
that one.
Yeah.
Very talented person. She not only can make things and utilize things all around the house to repurpose things, but she knows how to, whip up a mean dinner or all kinds of healthy foods. So she's not just, she's practicing what she preaches.
And you get a lot of information even without the sound being on.
Right.
Like, I feel like I know exactly what's happening.
My only fear was that those goats were rabid. That was my only concern.
Yeah. Goats are
they
so
eat
sweet.
Everything.
Can they be rabid? Or they get, they eat everything and it also comes out, too. So when the goat is standing on your back while, you're in,
eating Jane's hair.
Plank pose or whatever.
You
I don't know.
Do your downward dog.
Downward dog, right?
And you
get into some mush.
A crow.
Yeah.
Drinking bird.
Yes. Any of those.
The drinking bird's nice.
She's in drinking bird. And the next thing you know, there's a goat. Pooping in your hair. I mean, who needs that? I don't know.
Goats are sweet.
Classic
I love
goat
goats.
Yoga. Yeah.
And a goat would eat a tin can. So it's like literally a tin can coming out the other end. That's good.
No one needs to see that or even think about that.
I'm sorry, but that was just what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
All right. On the program today, we have a couple thematic things. First of all, there's a lot of, obviously, there's always every day. It need not be said, but I'll say it anyway. There's a lot of news coming out of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It just never ends. I have found something very interesting, though. Did you see this story that Donald Trump has basically replaced Sarah Sanders?
What?
Yes.
She's gone?
She's not gone, but he personally has replaced her for the last 2 weeks here and will up through the election. He thinks he does a better job of communicating what he wants to say than she does. Mm-hmm. So he has taken, in the last 11 days, an unprecedented 300 questions from the press in taped and live appearances. No president ever. I mean, you got to give the guy credit for this.
Very accessible.
He is the most transparent guy. You may not like what he's saying, and I don't, but he does he goes out there, and he's not shying. Not going to somebody else say. He's not going to hide behind anybody, and he's not going to sugarcoat anything. He's just not going to do it, which is, I think, why his, you know, most devout followers really appreciate him, because it's like he's unlike any other politician. They didn't like politicians to begin with. That's one of the DNA strains that, mm-hmm. that, you know, lives within his support, which is people who just didn't like any of this, want to blow the whole thing up, and he's doing that. So that's what he does, and he goes out there and he says these crazy things. Sometimes they're not so crazy as they are very calculating. He says things. He's like Kanye. He's a musical word genius. He's dropping things in because he's appealing to all these constituencies while he's talking to them, and then he's also infuriating some. He's paying off to others, you know, the things that they definitely want to hear, and he's able to do it in this word salad. And it's like jazz. It basically is. It's like political word jazz.
He's definitely good at changing the narrative when there's a story sure. that's emerging that he doesn't like. Boom, he changes it pretty quickly.
And we keep thinking, well, how's he ever going to get away from this one? But he does. He does. He takes the side of a rogue regime in Saudi Arabia that dismembered a guy, a journalist, or sort of a journalist, the commentator.
Mm-hmm.
This is really now the story out of Washington today, and we'll get to this a little bit later, because Brad Garrett's going to join us from ABC News coming up at 3:40 for both the radio and the television here about this mystery. And what does the U.S. actually get to play a role in the investigation here? Are we relying on Turkey solely? Should we be? Are we required? Are we prohibited from doing it because he wasn't a U.S. citizen? All those questions have come up, and this took place on foreign soil. Actually, on foreign soil, because it was not just foreign soil in Turkey, but it was within the embassy of Saudi Arabia, which is technically Saudi territory as well.
Right. The New York Times has now traced 3 of the 15 members that entered that consulate to very close friends of Crown Prince Mohammed, and they have pictorial evidence showing 3 of them in numerous situations pictured with him.
Yeah.
Public visits. And
yes, but isn't there something else that happened to one of them?
One of the people, the 15 men who were part of this entering the consulate when Khashoggi was there, it got in a car crash and died. That has happened.
I cannot believe it. Now, who makes the phone call back to Saudi on that one? You make Pompeo do it? Pompeo, call him again. Find out what that's all about. Or, no, don't call him. We don't want to know. Slippery roads, sandstorm. I mean, come on now, really?
Seems coincidental.
Guy's dead. One of the 15 guys.
One of the 15 guys who everyone wants to talk to right now.
Was it Dr. Bonesaw who just happened to go?
I don't think it was him. He looked like a younger guy.
Oh, one of the younger ones.
One of the younger
ones.
Where
is that story? Where is that
it's,
crossing?
It's circulating. The Daily Mail has it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Politico has a version.
We're told New York Post also has it.
New York Post has it as well.
Oof. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be a movie someday,
I mean, there's just so many twists and turns. You're absolutely right. But they have a lot of pictures they're showing now of the men entering and leaving.
New York Post is reporting that he is the guy who said, we should take this outside. Because you remember, they moved him to another location. They moved him to the residence.
Right.
For the, you know, the dismembering part.
Yeah.
So the guy who's like, hey, guys, hey, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
he's dead. He's dead in a car accident. Total accident.
No one will be able to talk to him. This is a complete accident.
These guys, you know, it was just the guy slipped.
A little fender bender.
And there was no way to actually... They didn't pay for the flight to actually, they didn't want to put the luggage stuff, so they split them up into pieces so they could each put them in a carry-on. That's the only explanation that the Saudis could come up with.
Mm-hmm. And he's a bad driver.
Yeah, and he's a bad driver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and we're throwing it with them. All right, Ben Bradley is going to join us from the CLTV newsroom coming up in just a moment. But first, Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, if you're buying Mega Million tickets with family and friends, keep it legal.
I know we're going to have Ryan Burrow on to discuss that with us. He's covering that story. What? How do you actually come up with a way so that nobody sues anybody else at the end of this?
And none of us end up in suspicious car accidents.
Make a contract. Write it down.
We don't know what happened. Car accident.
Anybody got that number for Dr. Bonesaw? All right, here is Violetta.
Then there's this. Watch Micah and Joe. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9.
All right. Now, I'll just tell you that Ben Bradley, standing by with the WGN-TV News Center, right there in front of the assignment desk. And it's very loud in the assignment desk today. A lot of things going on.
You want me to tell these people to be quiet behind
me? Sounds like a
trade. If you all could keep it down, Rokan is trying to do a radio show, and he says you're very loud behind me. Boo.
Oh gosh.
I believe I just heard a swear. I think I did.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we're gonna find that guy.
Yeah.
We're gonna go desk by desk to find that guy.
I would blame Skilling, but he's off this week. I believe you did just get booed by the entire newsroom.
I did, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the first time that's happened to you in a Chicago TV newsroom.
That is true.
Thanks, Walter Jacobson.
Everybody quieted down over there.
They did. Yes, very quiet.
Yeah,
very
so
calm.
I think it was effective.
Very well done. Yeah.
Yep. We're just getting some words, some information about a terror arrest. This was made yesterday in Chicago. The suspect is yet to appear in court today. It's unclear whether he will actually make his initial court appearance this afternoon or if it'll push till tomorrow. We don't have many details because they don't release the charging documents until he makes that initial appearance. But sources are telling me that this is a case where a guy allegedly attempted to provide some sort of support to a terrorist group, but there was no specific threat to do harm here in the city of Chicago. But I just wanted to update you on that. We reported yesterday that FBI agents and others had raided this home on Chicago's north side and made an arrest. Awaiting for that initial court appearance here to get some more information on what transpired there.
Such a peculiar thing, that whole thing. He was connected to terror? Wasn't that what we've heard?
He was allegedly attempting to provide support to terrorist groups, which, you know, we see a couple of these charges every year, I feel like.
Yeah,
you know, and they
true.
Range from, you know, locals who feel like they're supporting, you know, organizations that have parts that do good and other parts that, you know, don't do good, according to the federal government. And there is a list of these folks that the feds put out. And if you attempt
also have to remember, though, there were other cases. You remember the Mumbai attack, right? The Mumbai hotel attacks were planned and funded from here in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago and played a pivotal role in the planning of that operation.
Right.
This in no way sounds that significant or that developed.
Right.
But more often what we see you know, is a case where somebody is attempting to provide funds to, you know, whether that's ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Hezbollah or some group like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, the feds will pick up on chatter or get a tip that somebody is talking about, you know, doing some sort of harm. You know, hey, I want to blow something up someplace.
Right.
They have been incredibly good. They have a good track record of inserting an undercover agent or an informant
figuring it out.
Right, and then they become part of that and get a lot more information on
it.
All right, more to come.
We'll have that for you today.
WGN-TV News at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Correct.
Tell them Rose says they can be noisy
again.
You.
All right,
go ahead.
Resume your chatter.
All right, I want names. I want to find out who that guy is. All right, thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
All right, winter will be. Oh wait, no, I just told you about that. Let me tell you about this. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Our old friend Brad Garrett is joining us. He is an ABC News consultant in the security world, former FBI agent. As a matter of fact, ran the Bin Laden desk for the FBI back in the 1990s. And I would, I'd like to say that this, right in your wheelhouse here, sir, so thank you for joining us on this.
No problem.
In terms of how we would handle, as the news of today seems to be developing here, you have these 15 guys. One of them is now dead from a car accident. The the Turkish government keeps, you know, dropping little breadcrumbs about, you know, what went on. They say they have a tape of all of this. There is a report, I think it's CNN that's pushing it, or the New York Times pushing this report, that they're going to blame the intelligence director of Saudi Arabia for this, that it was a rogue operation. Can the FBI or the CIA get involved in this investigation? Because Khashoggi was not an American citizen.
No, not formally. If somebody invites them in, i.e. the Turks, i.e. The Saudis, yes, but only it would be in a sort of consulting advisor role. Because, let's face it, we have no jurisdiction, obviously, in either location. And there's no U.S. citizens involved. So it'd be strictly come help us sort of thing.
Now, doesn't it, in your mind's eye here, after, you know, decades of service here, your mind's eye, the fact that the Saudis are not asking for our help, is that evidence of anything?
No. I mean, they're pretty squared away in a number of areas. And, you know, obviously, this story seems to go one direction, which is not particularly helpful to the Saudis. So I would think the last thing they would want would be a bunch of FBI experts and forensics.
Well, that's my point. Is
to drill down on this.
They don't want to ask. They don't want to ask for our help in this, which says, you know, we'll do this on our own and we're going to do this investigation. And you've got the Secretary of State saying, hey, we're going to weigh in the investigation. You got the President and the Vice President today also came out and said, we're going to wait for the facts to come through here. But the facts are based on Saudi investigation. And if they're responsible for it, it's kind of like in Chicago, having a street gang do the investigation on the murder.
Right, and it's actually sort of odd that the Saudis are doing, if in fact they're the lead, where did all this occur, but in Turkey, which means the Turkey police / intelligence agencies would be the logical, I mean, they're the ones who have produced all the intel up to this point, and as you said, claim they have a audio tape of the actual murder.
Right. There's a fascinating story in the New York Times today, Brad, that shows a frequent companion and aide to the Crown Prince entering the consulate the day of this happened, and they show a lot of pictures of this particular aide or frequent companion with the Crown Prince to show, here's the guy there on the day this happened, here's the guy with the Crown Prince, and mentioned that there are a couple others also cited there that are directly connected to the Crown Prince. It seems the dots are filling in and creating this almost undeniable picture that he has some connectivity, and yet is it your belief that they'll deny it and they'll never have to say anything other than that? We'll just have to accept that ultimately.
Well, yes, that would be my guess, that he's never going to fall on his sword, so to speak, you know, on this topic. I mean, because it's clearly overwhelming. I mean, you think about who you just mentioned, people directly connected to his intelligence service, kind of like, I suppose, some version of their Secret Service. And then you add a doctor who is, by our definition, a pathologist, which knows how to take bodies apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, why do you send him to Istanbul? You know, it all sort of goes together with what appears to have happened.
Yeah.
The MIT is the National Turkish Security Forces, and they have cooperated historically in their many iterations during the Cold War, before the Cold War. They cooperated with both Russian and American assets. Right, they were always kind of a go-between. As a matter of fact, they were, one of the reasons I think that they exist in NATO is because we were never quite sure where they were going to go, if they were going to tilt toward the Russians or tilt toward us. And the Russians are in a play here in the Middle East. There's no question about it, right? They're obviously in Syria. They're trying to build a pipeline so that they can get their oil to the Mediterranean. They have interests in this region in a way that the United States really doesn't. And they don't like the Saudis, right? They've got their own problems with the Saudis, and they would like to muscle the Saudis a little bit here. Am I crazy to think that Vladimir Putin's the hot breath of Vladimir Putin is on the back of the necks of the Turks here?
Maybe. I definitely think that the Turks are using this as a political gain if they could with the Saudis. It looks like to me, because you know they didn't release information for a while because it sounded like they were trying to work something out with the Saudis on what happened, and then nothing was released by the Saudis. So we start getting dribs and drabs of photographs and audio recordings, allegedly, so forth and so on. So it's hard to say. I mean, is that conceivable, what you just said? Sure.
Yeah. It is a botched operation. There's no question about it, because if you were the Saudis, you would not want to have this happen in Turkey. That would be like us assassinating somebody in Russia. Right. Because then all of a sudden they'd be like, oh, see, or China, you know, we're like, oh, see, look, I mean, they would
right.
they would
Happy
certainly
to help.
Try. These are the Turks and the Saudis are strategic enemies of each other, or adversaries, I should say. So this is not going to be this was not something that clearly they had planned. So when the Saudis go, well, we weren't planning it, it was a mistake. Well, that's true. The problem is that you were planning it in the first place. Right. And that's why we are not representing our own values here, Brad, is driving me crazy.
Well, that's because I think that money and intelligence collection outweigh morality at the end of the day. And that the idea that, you know, we continue to have a great relationship with the Turkish intelligence service, we desperately need them because of what goes on in Syria, etc. And our relationship with the Saudis, as you well know, goes well beyond the financial and money side of it. I mean, it's a strategic location. We have bases there. We need bases there, et cetera. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's like at the end of the day, this stuff becomes basically amoral.
Yeah. Well, a lot of intelligence work is. There's no question about that, Brad. But it's the reality for us in the United States is that, you know, maybe we just have to say the words to make ourselves feel better. It's whistling in the graveyard. I don't know. But it just the real politic of this, and the White House is the president said, oh, there will be sanctions if we find this out. But if we just buy the explanation, is it going to be okay to kill? And this guy was a Saudi national who was working in the United States and trying to move to the United States and marry this woman, which is the reason he needed to get a divorce certificate, such that it is, from the Saudi government in order to marry this woman who's here in the United States. And that's how he got drawn back to at least the consulate in Turkey. They tried to get him to come actually all the way back to Riyadh, but that didn't work out. So he ends up in Istanbul trying to work this whole thing out. It's on every level it's disquieting, because the president just doesn't seem to have the empathy gene. I think if he'd had the empathy gene on so many other things, that maybe he'd get a pass on this. Like, well, this is international stuff, it's spy stuff, you know, things happen. We're gonna do what we can to stop this kind of thing. The way the British are trying to handle Putin right now by poisoning a guy on their soil, right?
Right. Yeah. Right, and it really goes to, we all develop behavioral track records, and he has one. So it doesn't really sort of surprise me, his reaction, where he's thinking about business first and relationships with the Saudis second, and this sort of falls kind of to third, the story, which, sad, but I guess true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, I want to ask you another question here, too. This Jamie Kloss disappearance up in Wisconsin. Right here, mm-hmm. over the border from us,
Barron, Minnesota.
Or
Wisconsin. I'm sorry.
This is a case where the parents are dead, and this teenage girl is missing, and now their Wisconsin authorities and federal authorities are trying to create a group of investigators and just also volunteers to go out and start searching fields here. What else do we know about that?
Well, and not a whole lot more. But think about it this way. This is a super small town, and so the idea that this is sort of random, a stranger showed up in this rural house, kills both parents, presumably takes alive a 13-year-old, and leaves, probably isn't the correct scenario. There's got to be, I would think, some connection here, whether it's through the parents, through Jamie. To shotgun two parents and then to take a 13-year-old is more than, you just randomly came across this house. So I assume they're taking apart, Jamie's social media, cell phone calls, same way with the parents. Is there a financial issue here? Is there a drug issue here? I mean, obviously, I don't know the answer to any of those. But the idea is you really have to take their three lives apart to see if it leads you anywhere. So it also makes sense to me, Ro, that this probably is right there. In other words, it's not in California or Florida. In all probability, the circle of what happened there is from right there or, yeah. or someplace close. So they may be working under the logic that Jamie is someplace close.
They said they've gotten control of a phone, the detectives on the case, that made the 911 call for which it was made. They haven't revealed the identity of who the owner of that phone is. But they are confirming that Jamie was present when the parents were killed and that 911 call was made. And 4 minutes later, officers were at the house and she was gone. So it's mysterious.
Right. And, of course, we don't know if they were actually in the house when that 911 call was made. So mm-hmm. the idea that they weren't there when law enforcement showed up, we'd have to know more, obviously.
Right.
Very sad story.
Got it. All right, Brad. Thank you very much. Brad Garrett, ABC analyst and former FBI agent. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. As always. Take care.
All right. Let's check in now. Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Roe, for the first time, the state has issued a report on pregnancy deaths in Illinois.
Do you behave at weddings? A former wedding videographer has written a wedding book, Stay Classy, Wedding People. Tune in to the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 9:10, and hear what that's all about.
Oh, God.
Kevin, we're looking God. At you with all
like
your weddings.
40 okay. weddings over the past 3 years.
I was at a wedding. It was in a relatives, too, which does, I mean, I come from a family where it is like a, they're still fighting World War I in my family. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why. But I was at the bride and groom come in at the beginning and
to
they get on
reception?
The dance floor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they start dancing.
Yeah.
And then everybody starts dancing with them.
Sure.
Literally a fist fight breaks out.
That's awesome.
On the dance floor.
Who and who?
It was a woman, and then people weren't even drunk yet. Oh. That's the thing. I mean, you know, you expect like late night. The later it goes.
Was she in the wedding though?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so that means they start drinking at like 8 a.m.
There was a bridesmaid. There was a mother of somebody who was in the wedding. You know, there was sort of on the other side of the family, and then a guy. There's always one guy who doesn't have a suit coat. You know, at every wedding, there's a guy who only has a shirt and a tie on.
Watch out for that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That guy jumps into the middle of the fight.
Oh, no.
Because you just had to figure, because the guy's like, hey, I don't have a suit coat on. I can swing more freely. I don't have to take that off. So he just thought, I think that's the reason that people don't wear like a suit or a suit coat or whatever to the wedding. I know it's a classist argument on my part, but it works. So anyway, so it was like a free for all, and my daughter, who was in the wedding, this is years ago. Uh-huh. My daughter was like the flower girls in the wedding.
Oh,
I had to go out
sweet.
Into the floor and grab her and pull her off the floor,
make sure she was safe, not in the middle of the melee.
In the middle of a melee.
Well, don't people know at weddings everything is videotaped? You got a videographer there. He's going to show it, and you're going to. I mean,
yeah, but this is. In all defense, this was before YouTube.
Oh.
So it wasn't, this happened.
Always make news.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's the only thing I did, though. I didn't want to get in the middle of anything. All right, you people. Especially you, sir, without the suit coat on. By the way, don't you have any respect for the bride? You know, I didn't have any, I didn't do any of that sort of
officiate.
Stuff. But that's when stuff starts swinging.
It's, I don't know. There's always something, though. At every wedding, there's something. Some drama.
I don't ever really know anyone at weddings, so I just like to sit back and watch it all.
How do you not know anyone that you go to a wedding to?
I don't know.
You just show up to a wedding and don't know anybody.
No, I mean, I know some people, but not really.
That's why I just go to the bar, slip the bartender 20, say, I'll be here all night. You're my new best friend.
Do you skip the ceremony? Go to the...
No, I feel like such a jerk if I do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do skip the ceremony.
Yeah, I do too.
But a lot of people do it all in the same spot now. So it's a quick ceremony, and then you just walk over to the next room, and then the party's there.
Well, I like a costume change if I'm going to both, so that's a lot for people I don't know.
Yeah. She only goes to weddings where it's actually a faked up bride and groom for legal purposes only. Mostly
like,
immigration purposes.
Other?
Yeah. And then she answers an all call email to show up to be in part in the pictures so they can show that to the immigration agent. And there's why is Violetta in all of these pictures? Why does she know all these people? I didn't even know that was possible. All right, everybody stand by. Kim Gordon, she is standing by. She's got the WGN news coming your way in 2 minutes. I want money, lots and lots of money. Of Okay, we have an existential crisis here at
yes.
the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc.
Big one. This is awful.
Yeah. All right. So yesterday, I just want to run through the history of this particular event.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, one of the fine staff members of this program, Mr. Kevin Powell, was going down to, we have a little store in our building that's like a little
mini mart
kind of a thing.
Newsstand.
The guy listens to us.
I love that guy.
On this. Now, this is a very,
he listens to the show, so say hello to him.
He listens to the show, and he listens on his phone. And sometimes I'll walk in there if I'm, you know, coming in the building and I'll hear, it's always when Violetta's doing a traffic report on John Williams' show. I don't know.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it's not. Anyway, the point is that.
He's a huge Bears fan.
So I walk in there and there were these ladies who walked in front of me. And while Violetta was reading this report and I hear it on his phone, they're like, turn that phone off. Turn that. What is that? You always have a phone on. I think they thought it was like
a
phone call the guy was making.
Oh, did you defend me?
See, we got to get him.
Like a little baby from that because I didn't want the confrontation.
Next time, defend me and say that's Violetta Podrumetic. Listen to her traffic.
Oh, hell no. Anyway, so the point is, I know that's what I would say. That's what I would have said. I should have said that to those ladies, but then they would have called 911. So so Kevin goes down to the little store.
Hero move.
And Anna,
goes, I asked him.
Hey, would you buy me? Mega Millions ticket, and you gave him $5, and you wanted two. They're $2 a piece.
Right.
Right? Okay. And she
said, since you're going down, would you get me the lottery ticket?
Right. And so she hands the $5 over, and off Kevin goes.
On my little journey.
Right. And then Kevin comes back, and he said, well, you know, he bought that and a Powerball ticket, which we didn't win last night.
At least
the big number. I don't know if we got the $1 million. We should look that up. Because I got a feeling we did. But the point is, he comes back and says, you know, these are now group tickets for us. Because the transaction, I need to put money in the whole thing. They're just going to make these group tickets.
Because it all got printed on one. Because I bought a couple myself and it all got printed on one ticket.
So you're like, how do you split these up?
We don't have a show ticket. Let's roll with this.
Yes.
But even that proclamation caused chaos on the show.
I thought it was being a team player. And everyone was like, what do you mean?
Only for Anna. Because
I wanted my own tickets and it ends up being the pool.
Yeah.
Forcibly.
All right.
And I was like, finally, I said, okay.
We know where you stand with this show.
The Magnificent Seven, the seven of us on this show, in front and behind the cameras and the microphones, have all gone in on this. And yesterday, I named everybody, and we texted each other in our group text that we have that goes back and forth, the pictures of the tickets, so we know what we're dealing with here.
Yep.
And we've all discussed that we are going to split it evenly amongst the seven of us. We've done that. Now, over Anna's protest, because it's her $2,
$4. Yeah, but I'm okay with it now, I decided. But
okay. Did you go and get your other stuff? Wait.
No, I didn't get it.
I need that. Could you flag that tape? She said she's okay with it. This, when we have to have somebody figure this out for us, we're going to have to use this as prima facie evidence.
4:13 Central Standard Time on WGN Radio.
Why are you guys getting all legal on this?
Well, because
Ryan Burrow is here to tell us that he's been doing a story for us and for ABC News today about exactly this issue, that people do get real legal about this. And when they do this in office pools, often the company explodes as a result of this, right?
Well, the dream is, right, on Monday morning, the boss shows up and no one's around because the whole office outside of the boss won.
Mm-hmm.
Flip the lights out.
Everyone says, I'm quitting.
All these empty desks, right? So a lot of people are getting involved. That's one of the reasons why this thing has gone up $300 million over the last 2 days.
Is there over a billion yet?
No, I don't think so.
Not quite yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if before the drawing tomorrow we get to that point. But so you can actually enter into contracts with your coworkers.
Oh, contracts with the coworkers.
And not verbal. Audio contracts are one thing, but they don't necessarily hold up in court. So you can get it down on a piece of paper.
Right, verbal contracts are not legal in Illinois unless it's real estate.
So you can do it on a piece of paper?
They are legal except in real estate. I can't remember. I can't remember. I've been through so many lawsuits, I have no idea. I can't remember which. I think I've argued both things. Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, you can even put this down on a napkin if you guys wanted to. Just write the names out, split seven ways, and everyone signs out. And that works.
Do we need a lawyer for this?
No, you don't need a lawyer.
We don't need to call Mike Monaco?
I mean, you can.
Should I call the Vrdoljak Law Group because I feel personally injured by this conversation?
All of a sudden, I think you'd have an eighth person on that on that napkin.
What are you supposed to say? Just, I agree to split the pot with the following people?
Yeah, you can write out the terms however you want to do it, divvied up evenly. You know, Violetta didn't pay her $2, so she's going to be, you know.
You're out, Violetta.
Oh, it's funny how Violetta's out all of a sudden.
So she's only she only gets 10%. You know, Judy's out today, so we all went in.
Right,
we
Judy, I'm sorry, you're done. Yeah, right. Well, that's what always happens. The one person was out sick, or was on vacation or whatever, and they always every week they pay.
Judy is out today.
The one week they didn't pay.
It's funny you say that because if you look at the history of the lawsuits, several of them are that exact scenario that you should have honored the guy who's always part of the pool but didn't happen to be there that day.
No.
They've actually, well, some of them have settled out of court, but.
Most people play nice. In fact, the last Mega Millions jackpot winner was back in July 24th. There hasn't been a winner since then, and that was
We're at a billion.
Yeah, that's office right there. I split up evenly. It was a small office, but they all got the ticket from a liquor store.
Mm-hmm. We're a small office.
Until you win, and then all of a sudden,
right? Then everybody wants a piece.
Yeah, all of a sudden, all the engineers and
Cochran's calling. Hey,
Where's
mine? I was part of that.
Yeah,
we have a texter that says you can get one of those contracts at Illinois Lottery.
Oh gosh, they've thought of that.
Let's sign it.
Yeah, let's get that. Let's print that out. We don't want Monaco because he's going to want 10%, isn't he?
He'll take something.
All right, I can call my agent and he'll take 15%.
Just
maybe, darling,
call,
sweetheart, Bubby, listen.
But will he guarantee a win? Because I'll do it.
So our story yesterday was actually I was in a Powerball lottery ticket with Judy. We hit yesterday.
What?
We got we got the Powerball number. $15.
We hit.
Did you hit anything?
I hit. So I went down to our guy. Does anybody know his name?
No,
by the way,
I just call him Mr. Patel.
It's
that
Mr.
is his
Patel.
Last name.
Okay.
It is.
Mr.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's convenient.
I thought Kevin was joking.
All right. So I went down to Mr. Patel, and I had
friend of the show,
Big Bears fan.
I went in yesterday, and I gave him a ticket that I, over the weekend, had purchased, and it had three numbers. It was a $20 win.
Oh.
Right?
Nice.
On the Mega. And so I go in, and I give it to him, and then he looks at me and goes, no. Uh-huh. That was for last night's drawing. Or for a Monday night's drawing, I guess, of their Tuesday night's drawing of the Mega Millions. So I had the wrong ticket. So, and I was like, about $20 now, because I was going to, roll it. Do the roll.
Sure, roll it over.
But I didn't do it. That's the thing. You got to make sure that we do have the right tickets, right?
Well, you're supposed to, according to the lottery rules, get a copy of not only the front but the back for some reason, Kevin has not provided at this time.
I handed the tickets over already.
To who?
The producer of the show.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
You know, he left town. I don't know what happened.
Well, like he said he's taking a long vacation.
Judy's got our winning $4 ticket. Judy's got our ticket, and she ran off to Los Angeles.
Well, I hope we have the right tickets. Let's go down there. I'll go down, tomorrow, make sure we got the right ones. I don't know why. I said, what's the big one? He said this one. I said, okay, we'll take whatever I can get with this.
Are you sure it's only
$4? I don't know the lotto. We're going to have to get Mr. Patel.
That's what makes this so unique is because a lot of people, when it gets this high, they've never played before. And so they literally just walk up to the cashier and say, here's my money. What do I do?
That's true.
This is amateur hour for the lotto. Me win.
Poor Mr. Patel.
Yeah. The lines are long. Oh, and then somebody will grab, they don't understand the quick pick, and they'll grab that little pink slip, and they'll start doing it. Okay, so Mindy's birthday was 7/19.
I want to pick 2/30s.
75.
Does it go up to 100?
Wait, this doesn't go to 75.
And there's certain formats or what's it called? People are very anxious who play often. Like they have a routine, and if you mess with their routine.
What was Aunt Susie's birthday?
Aunt Susie, let's see.
Look it up.
She was in April, right?
Mm-hmm. Call Cindy and ask her.
Yes. All right, hold on a second. Hold on. I've got to call. Wait, how does this phone work? It's the same people who want to take pictures, and they don't know how their phone works. Hold on. I've got to. I never know how to work. Does anybody know how to work this? And there's like a line of 500 people. There was a line yesterday in the Illinois Center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking through the interior part of the Illinois Center.
Oh, that one's always busy.
There's a store in there. There's one of these.
Right before you get into the central part of the first floor.
And there was a line out into the hallway and around for people who were by. I guess they were, that would have been for Power yesterday, right? Or maybe both.
Yeah.
Powerball was drawn.
All those
yesterday.
People who think that there might be something going on at the state level that, hey, maybe the state building will have a better odds.
Maybe they do. Maybe they do.
Ultimately, though, office pools don't really, they don't make that much sense. Because if the odds are 1 in 300 million, does it really increase your odds that much to have 22 out of 300 million? That's
team.
The thing. Yeah, that's you don't want to be the one left out.
Yeah.
Or, right, the camaraderie.
Well, you also throw a bunch of... I mean, the odds between buying a $2 ticket and a $20 ticket, it's not a tenfold odd difference, right? I mean, even if it is a tenfold in terms of the... It turns out not to actually be, but it's not that much of a difference between the, you know, 1 in 300 trillion and 1 in, you know, whatever it is.
It isn't.
Don't tell that to the people who are dropping hundreds of dollars. And unfortunately, tomorrow's a payday for a lot of people. So you get a feeling a lot of people are going to be like, here's my money, you know, here's my paycheck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's never a good idea.
I can't find a contract.
Do we have one?
No, I'm on the website.
I can't find the contract. It's so funny. I couldn't find a contract. You know, I can't remember where it was.
The tickets disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know. The tickets are gone. Listen, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Judy is gone the next 2 days.
Isn't
that's
that
a head
weird?
Scratcher right there.
Are we sure you only won $4 in that?
I want my $4.
Are you sure that's
you
all it is?
You have a copy of it, right?
I have
you're
a
covering
copy,
the story and you're part of the story now.
I have a copy of that.
Reporter gets burned by own story. News or ruse?
I can just see it. Reporter covering lottery scams gets scammed.
Gets burned
by
his other
coworkers.
Yeah. Other news reporter burns other reporter.
Now, we do have to identify if we win in Illinois. That's the law.
What do you mean identify? Yeah.
If you win and you go to the Illinois lottery and say I have the winning ticket, they will identify you publicly.
You know, that's a good idea in this state because you remember I think it was during the Thompson administration. This is how long ago this was. There was either Thompson or Edgar. There was a guy who won, who was a government, worked in the governor's office, and he won on a subscription service, which no one knew existed back then, that you could sign up and it, you know, like for you know $5 a week or $10 a week or whatever they would, you know, they'd put you in the whatever it happened to be at that point it was Lotto, I think, and it was like a $4 million prize. You know, back in the old days, right?
Sure.
When everybody was standing in line for a $4 million prize, it was to a $1 billion prize. And this guy won and everybody's like, hey, wait a second, right? Yeah. And I mean, because it's Illinois. I mean, I was like a kid. I'm like, hey, wait a second.
Yeah, you could figure that one out.
Yeah.
Fairly transparent.
That's why I had Pam Jones buy ours in Northwest Indiana, hoping under the
way to
well,
drop her
this
name.
This is very true.
That is so true.
This is true. When I was driving around the lake, 4th of July week, I stopped in every poop kicker town in Wisconsin, Upper Peninsula, Michigan, and Indiana that I could find.
Why does it seem like the winners are always in those rural places?
And I bought lottery tickets in all those places.
With all the population density we have in Chicago, you don't hear of the big winners coming from here.
We just had a person in the South Suburbs win pretty big. A couple,
oh, really?
Yeah, at a barbecue joint. I want to say a few months ago it was a Mega Millions. It wasn't nearly this much, but yeah.
We never catch a break
in Worth or it was Hickory Hills or something.
There was one in the Northwest. One of the biggest ones in the 80s. Or late 80s was up in the Northwest suburbs too. That there was like a bar that was one of the first lawsuits where everybody in the bar went in on it.
I wasn't on that.
It's like, who can? They're like, hey, what happened to that?
They all do the Queen of Hearts
exactly. Well, that may be the word that came from. All right, thank you very much.
Yep.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
Good luck.
All right, thank you. You too. No, I don't mean that to you.
But you're
I
not part us. Of our pool, Ryan,
right?
Just
that's
so you
just
know.
I'll
try to get in on it.
I'll monitor.
Perfectly clear.
I'll be the referee.
Right now, let's check in with Kim, who's out her portion of the $4 winnings with what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, that's why Judy went to California. Well, if you don't win the lottery, there's good news on the job front in Illinois.
Unfortunately, bad
news. No. Wait, please. Your traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This November 6th, you have the power to influence the course of politics. Follow the most comprehensive local political news online, chicagotribune.com/midterms.
All right. We have Kim Gordon standing by in the WGN newsroom. And then coming up, we're going to talk to Hogue on the Bears. Oh, God.
Big game.
Yeah. I don't know I think it's more likely that we're going to win the Mega Millions now than
the
Bears are going to win on Sunday. But I have thoughts on that. I go back and forth. I'm not consistent in my emotions about any of this. Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes. 720 WGN Chicago. In case you're confused, because God knows I am. Here is Kevin Powell. We're about to talk to Adam Hoge, our Bears insider, about the Bears. Today is a hallowed day.
Yes, it is.
Today in Bears history.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ditka's birthday.
Happy birthday,
National
Coach.
Holidays, you mm-hmm. just said.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do for the Ditka's birthday? We smoke stogies.
First of all, it's Ditka.
Ditka.
There's no tea in it.
Some Ditka dogs going?
Yep, you got to get the Ditka. Here's what you got to get.
The Ditka Bloody?
You get a Ditka Bloody.
It's pretty good.
Then you have...
Kick-ass red.
The Ditka Little Weenies.
Does he have those?
Yeah. And then, not to hear him tell it, then you got to get the Ditka Ribs. Because I got the Ditka ribs. You can go to over by Jules, and mm-hmm. you can buy Ditka ribs
wow,
right there in the rib section.
Well, I know you had the beef.
You got Ditka beef.
The
sausages they sell actually at a bunch.
I love the Ditka sausages.
The Ditka sausages are really good.
Very good.
At a stadium, if you run into that, you could get a Ditka Polish. It's amazing. It's got a little. It's got not just pop. It's got like spice to it and stuff. It's great.
It's sort of a kielbasa feel to it. Kind of more of like a Polish sausage.
Yeah.
They're Vienna beef, so.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Coach.
Yeah, that's right, Coach.
He is 79.
79 years young today.
Mm-hmm.
Probably on the golf course.
Probably.
Yes. Pulling up onto the tee box on his cart, getting out.
Launching drives into a foursome.
Right. Not screaming for, driving through the foursome, in the middle, and then if you're near him, he gets out. It doesn't matter where you are. He could be right in front of him. He's going to hit the ball. Just get out of the way.
I can only imagine him. Then
he gets in and goes to the card room, and he sits down, and he has generally a Diet Coke in the card room, and he plays gin.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for Coach. Mm-hmm. That's a good birthday right there.
Good way to spend it, I would say.
That kind of birthday.
And not listening to a bunch of panty waist like us ask him questions.
Seventy-nine
years young. That's our guy right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's our guy.
He's got spunk.
He's got something. I can tell you that right now. All right.
I've tried his salsa. I wouldn't say that's one of his best products.
Hey! Hey!
Okay.
Hey.
All right. Okay.
That's your IQ there! What is that? That's zero! That's your IQ!
Right. Everything he makes is perfect. It's Ditka, of course.
It's Ditka.
Ditka.
Happy birthday, Ditka.
Adam Hoge is joining us
now. Were there balloons and cake at Hallis Hall today? I'm sure they really love celebrating and talk about Coach Ditka's birthday, huh, Adam?
They actually they throw a huge birthday party every year.
That he doesn't show up to?
Day. Yeah. balloon. No, there was nothing.
I know.
One of my favorite stories of Ditka was the night I was working at Channel 2 at the time that he got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to his house. And he was living like in Arlington Heights or something at the time, I think, somewhere up northwest. And Johnny Morris, who was the great Chicago Bear, former Chicago Bear, for a long time held the receiving records for the Chicago Bears.
I think he still does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Numbers?
Yeah, which is...
Number of receptions, not total yards, whatever it is. It was a great sportscaster. So much fun to watch. But he goes up, and of course, you know, they knew each other from playing and all that. So Johnny goes up to the house after, you know, Dick got fired, and they pantsed him and threw him out in the front lawn. The guys were so drunk, and there's so many big guys on that team. And Jen's like, hey, no!
Good old days, I guess.
Yeah, it was the good old days, Ditka.
Adam, the latest on 52, Khalil Mack, I know they keep saying he's day-to-day, and it's coach speak, and they're not really giving much information on it, but what'd you learn from Hallis today on the injury front, particularly with Khalil Mack?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm kind of more worried about Allen Robinson at this point. He went from limited yesterday to not practicing at all today. Suffered a groin injury at some point. We don't really know. It wasn't obvious in Sunday's game. So that's kind of a bad sign going forward this week. But as far as Khalil Mack goes, I'm still confident just because he's never missed a game in his career. So I feel like he'll be able to gut it out by Sunday.
You know, the thing that scares me about this Patriots offense, obviously Tom Brady and the Bill Belichick factor, but the offenses that have found success against the Bears defense are short, quick passes, get receivers in space, and let them run for, you know, that's the bread and butter of the New England Patriots for really the last 5 to 10 years now, where it's, you know, Brady, whether he has Amendola or Edelman, just run these 3 to 5 yard routes, get get him in some space and let them do the damage. And the Bears got killed on that last week in Miami.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was really the same thing against the Packers in that first game when they changed their philosophy at halftime. So from that standpoint, I understand why everyone's a little bit nervous. I think, though, that even if they know Khalil Mack might be limited, let's say he plays and he's just not 100%, everyone on that defense is going to know that and maybe step up their game a little bit. And I think there's going to be a little bit of a correction just from the standpoint of how poorly they played on Sunday. I think everyone's going to bring it a little bit more. And I just can't imagine the defense playing like that 2 weeks in a row. Right.
So if the Bears...
I love your optimism about that. Because that's how a Bear fan has to feel about this. I agree with you. There's no way this defense is so good, and to be embarrassed and end up, you know, in the bottom half of the stats, the bottom quarter of the stats, even more, right? In terms of what their defensive performance was in the 20s or something, after being, you know, as high per game as number two, that's a big deal, and that's a shock to, I think, a lot of. You know, to a lot of the guys on that team. Okay, I agree with all that. Now I've said it. But it's Tom Brady and these quick passes. I mean, this just watching him tear up on the Kansas City defense on Sunday night. And again, Kansas City's different. They don't have Khalil Mack. They don't have a lot of, you know. Terrific.
It's not a good defense.
There's not a single team happier than the Kansas City Chiefs if Khalil Mack is a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, right.
But it is not... It's not the same defense, but he's just able to do that. He's kind of magical and mystical. Now, I think you saw what they did. You saw what they did in the first half against Green Bay, against Aaron Rodgers, but then Aaron Rodgers came back in the second half. I'm not sure they're all the way there yet. And the offense, I'm sorry here. There's so much trickification going on here. I get it.
What is trickification?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Flea flickers and reverses?
Yeah.
They're doing what you do in a 2018 modern day offense.
Right.
It's creative.
It's motion. I know it looks like, holy hell, what are they doing? This is trickeration, boys. What's happening here to the NFL? I'm used to. Where's the I formation? No, this is what offenses are supposed to look like in 2018. Okay. It's not that complex.
Where's the T formation? Do we have that?
I went to a college where they played the single wing.
Right. That's
okay?
What I'm saying.
All the way, like 4 years of college, and I'm watching the single wing, and I'm like, what in the hell are they doing? Because they would snap it to a guy. It was like Mo, Larry, and Curly back there running around in circles. This is not to my eye. I don't love this. And these shovel passes, I mean, they've gotten away with them, but there's going to be something bad that's going to happen on one of those shovel passes before it's all said and done. Or they're going to shovel it right to a nose tackle, and then it's going to be like, and you're going to see a guy who weighs 460 pounds lumbering down the field to a touchdown. I would like to see a little bit more. Because there's such a level of terrific, you know what I said, trickification, that there would be. I think they got to kind of grow into it because it's all new to them. Isn't that right, Adam?
But they are growing into it. They're making progress every week. The offense played well the other day.
After the first
28 points. They should be able to put up 28 points in every game and win, right? Because the defense should hold you to at least 27.
They've thrown for nearly 700 yards with 9 touchdowns and just 1 interception the past 2 weeks. So if the Bears are going to beat the Patriots, they have to do what, Adam?
Well, they have to play well on offense, and that's the other side of this. I agree with what you guys are saying about Brady and his quick passes. It's not the best matchup, and if Khalil Mack's not 100%, that's a problem. But the Bears
an anti-Khalil Mack offense. That takes him out of the game a little bit anyway. Right, because if he's getting rid of the ball in the second and a half, Khalil Mack, you know, unless he's like, what the streak or what was it? That's a superhero.
The Flash.
Thank you. Unless he's the Flash, he's not going to be able to get to him.
Well, and so the second can you just
get me with Nagy right now so I can tell him all of this personally?
You're getting worried, bro.
Yeah, because Belichick seems to know what he's doing, and I hate him too. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the offense. Just needs to be able to score on the Patriots, too, which I think will happen. This Patriots defense is not that good. So if Trubisky continues this positive arc he's been on and Matt Nagy continues his trickification and confuses the Patriots, I think that, you know, maybe there's some points scored in this game, but the Bears will have a chance.
Fun fact, Mitch Trubisky was 5 when Tom Brady was drafted.
Yeah.
And they've both been like really complimenting each other. Have you noticed this? Even Belichick, did you what he said about Trubisky, that was one of the best passes and catches that he's seen ever seen all year or
with
something
Gabriel,
like that?
Taylor Gabriel?
Yeah,
yeah, he
exactly.
gave it a 99 out of 100.
That's high praise from him. So they're coming into this. They're not. They're certainly taking this team seriously.
Well, they're saying that.
I tweeted
yeah.
that out though, and the Bears fans just didn't buy it. They thought it was like
buttering
some kind
them
of
up.
Trick Belichick was
yeah.
playing.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Jedi mind trick.
Exactly right. Oh, we are good. Oh, look
we're
at us.
Very good until we crush you.
Exactly. All right. Well,
I'll be at the game. Watching. Ooh. I have a little split loyalty, you know, because you've got this Tom Brady thing that I really love him, and obviously Bears fan my whole life, but it's going to be an exciting game to watch.
If you jump up and you start applauding on a Tom Brady move...
I can't. You, I know that already.
I'm just going to say right now that you are going to endure a 2-week suspension on this program. I'm just warning. This is fair warning.
Okay.
That if you are seen on Instagram or on the Twitter or anywhere else where you're jumping up and down in the stadium because Tom Brady, though he's so cute, did something good.
I just celebrate silently.
Yes,
you no one right. can notice.
You
quietly at home.
Out of our lotto yeah. winnings, Anna. Well, yeah. Stick with the team here.
Stick with
You'll
the team.
Get a longer suspension than Tom Brady got for the play.
Exactly right.
Oh,
yeah.
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
The haters—they're
yeah.
everywhere.
No, I'm just saying
they are.
I'm just saying that you know the we should have ever since January 1986 we've had the New England Patriots number. Well, we had it that day, but we haven't really had it that many times since.
You know, this matchup with the Patriots does feel a little different. The last time Brady came to town, he completely obliterated the Bears' defense. I mean, the fact that it's only the line minus -3 New England, I think that says a little something. I think the Bears do have a lot of respect from the league and from the football world. I really do.
You know, to your point, our old friend Sam Panjanovic texted me earlier today, now that he's out in Vegas and he's tracking this stuff.
Yeah, you're
got the Bears buzz out there?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the line went from 3.5 to 2.5.
Oh, which some big money flowing in there.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's actually what his point was, that there's some sharp money, which means a lot of money from big bets coming in, and to flip over the number 3, which is huge in Vegas. He said that it's very, very significant.
Oh, this would be the 2.5 home dogs right there. Pound them, pound them, pound it. So he's at VSiN. Which, and those are the guys, that's where Musburger is like, he's got like a green eye shade back there and he's counting stacks of money.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they do on that?
Well, Sam counts the money for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't trust him.
Yeah.
And then blows it on the casino floor. But he's having fun.
Yeah.
Well.
All right.
I think they've got respect. I think it's going to be a good one Sunday.
All right. That's very interesting. We should probably check in with Sammy about that. You know, we're trying to figure out on Fridays how to help our better friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean better, like they're better than the other friends we have,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Our better friends.
So Sammy's got it. Sammy, but Sammy was always the guy when he was working here.
Yeah.
He would be the guy who would come in. He'd like just pop his head in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and he'd go, pound the Bears minus -3.5. And then he would close the door.
He would. And I would never understand any of what he was talking about. And you'd be like, all right, got it.
Well, even his texting me, he has to explain everything to me because I don't understand.
He's already. You got to pound the over, and then you're gonna parlay that, and then you're gonna go on the money line, and then I'm like, that seems like a risky bet to me. I don't understand.
And then tease it.
I'm going into my coin purse right now. I've got 10, 15, 20 cents. Okay, here. All right. Well, let's just hope. These are the things I hope for. First of all, we just bring out a healthy team after this, because with the exception of Khalil Mack, it scares me a little bit. But I believe, and I just want, Adam, for you to confirm this, is there a lot of side-eyeing when they're talking about him around Hallis Hall? Like, this is a Belichick kind of move to say, well, I don't know, the poor guy is so hurt, maybe he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I think Mack plays Sunday.
Okay.
I'm reading the injury.
I'm more worried about Robinson.
The injury report right now. Am I getting this right? It looks like Gronk and Edelman both have injuries going into the Bears.
Dog it.
I mean, that could be bad.
Well,
that
might be why Belichick lists everybody.
He does.
Is limited.
Tom Brady was once listed on the injury report. I think for like 2 years.
So remember, they said he was dead.
Every single game, he was questionable or probable.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just a game, a Belichick game.
Yeah. So that may be why the money moved in Vegas.
Yeah, it could be. Because Gronk is out and Edelman, I mean, not out, it doesn't say they're both a heel and an ankle.
Yeah. And they're starting running back, Sony Michel. Let's see who else is on here, basically.
You're right. That's a very long list. Right. I will guess. Yes. It's half of
and
the
Josh
team.
Josh Gordon.
Yeah, we believe that Tom Brady is missing and probably will not be here in time for the game.
He took a trip to Saudi Arabia. We haven't seen him since.
Car accident.
Right. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Adam.
Thanks, man.
Bears 24, Patriots 23.
All right.
Oh, look at that.
Cody Parkey redeems himself.
See what he's doing right there. Oh, God, Cody Parkey.
I should have brought it up.
Not since Bob Thomas have I ever wanted to reach through my television screen and strangle a kicker.
Well, Barf was the
worst. Bob Thomas, by the way, is now on the Illinois Supreme Court. So I take back what I said about you,
yes.
Justice.
Don't go there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hope.
All right. Let's check in now with Kim, find out what's happening at the top of the hour.
Roe, dozens of volunteers continue to search for the missing Wisconsin girl.
Just to get you up to date on what's coming up on the radio program here.
Mm-hmm.
In the 5 o'clock hour, at top 5 at 5.
Right.
And then you, and I'm speaking to you, the royal you, all of you, you people mm-hmm. are spending too much money on Halloween costumes for your pet.
Oh.
And your pet doesn't like it.
How do you know?
Because I know. I've been told.
You can speak pet?
The International Association of Pets. Which is just it's a new pet union that mm-hmm. has just started.
They're on strike.
Has their representative?
Do they also use an inflated rat? When they go on strike?
No. They use an inflated human.
That's probably true.
That's what they do. So they have they're upset about it. They feel humiliated. You can see it in their eyes. You totally see it in their eyes.
But it's so cute.
Yeah, the cat. Will get even with you later.
The cat will kill you.
Yeah, but only cats understand how to dispense that revenge
all year.
Cold.
Yeah.
Very cold.
And the dog's like, "Come on, just give me a break."
Yeah, well, come on. All right, they roll their eyes. And then they give you that look like, "Come on. This thing hurts." All right, we'll talk about it. Let's not leave it all on the playing field.
I am putting my pet in a Halloween costume this year, just for the record. Matches the rest of the family's costumes.
I think we're going to have an intervention. I think we have to talk you out of it.
Nope, she's going to like it. She'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
My little puppy.
Sort of unlikely, but here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four. Three. Two. One.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right.
Number five.
Here's the president talking about Jamal Khashoggi.
It certainly looks that way to me. It's very sad. It certainly looks that way.
Yeah, that was, is he dead?
Yeah.
Is he dead?
Does appear that way.
Yeah. He says that his administration is waiting for multiple investigations.
Anything new from Secretary Pompeo today in your meeting?
No, just that we're waiting for some investigations and waiting for the results. And we'll have them very soon. And I think we'll be making a statement, a very strong statement. But we're waiting for the results of about three different investigations. And we should be able to get to the bottom fairly soon.
Getting harder and harder for the Crown Prince to make any kind of claim that he knew nothing about this or has no connectivity. New York Times has an article today about an aide to him, likely an intelligence officer, who's pictured with him in a number of state visits and places all over the globe, was one of those who was seen at the consulate that day. Two others also linked to the Crown Prince out of the 15.
So what, they have to execute those guys?
What do you mean they have to execute?
I mean, if these guys, they go, oh, well, these were rogue operators.
If you're going to stick with that story.
Yeah.
But they're so close to him.
Right. But then he's going to have to go, well, they went right. The only way to prove his innocence is you have to kill more people.
Yeah. Along with the pathologist linked to the government.
They need him because he's the best doctor.
He might survive.
He's the best doctor in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
All right, then he was asked. Now, there's this other story that there was a shouting match today at the White House between John Kelly
mm-hmm.
and John Bolton, the guy who looks like a cartoon character, mm-hmm. specifically a Simpsons character.
Yes, he does. The mustache.
Is Ned Flanders? he and Kelly got into it over border crossings. This is the story as it goes. That there was a conversation about border crossings, and they don't think that Kristen Nielsen is doing a good enough job as Homeland Security Secretary, and that's John Kelly's person right there that he likes and has, you know, moved her into that position. And there's a whole big deal that's going on here and a fight. And John Bolton got sided with by the president sided with John Bolton in the middle of this. And there was screaming and yelling and gnashing of teeth. And there are multiple witnesses in this meeting who are now picking up the phone and calling people, telling them about it, telling press about it, because they're trying to get their side heard. They're trying to sell their side of the story so that when one of these guys has to go, if they will go, you know, I mean, who knows? The president likes rivals around him fighting in front. I think the president sort of enjoys it. But this is, you know, at some point everybody's trying to go for higher ground here by calling up the press and
getting the story out.
Getting their side of the story out. But the president says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Can you comment on a shouting match between General Kelly and Ambassador Bolton in the West?
I had not heard about that.
He was in the middle of it. I had not heard about that. No, I had not heard about it. What about the $130,000? I don't know anything about that payment. You're just going to have to ask Michael Cohen. He's my lawyer.
Someone else knows.
Yeah.
Not
Michael
me.
Cohen's a good guy. He's my lawyer. I mean, if you just, come on. All right, checking in.
Number four.
Eric Trump was on Fox News. Oh. On Fox and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
It should be just retitled Fox and Trump Friends. He says that Democrats are going to investigate everybody. Everybody, if they get the House.
You watch the level of harassment. If the House flips, they'll be investigating you. They'll be investigating. They'll investigate everybody. That's what these people do. I mean, they weaponize a legal system. They will come after everybody relentlessly. They'll know that there's nothing there, but it's harass. It's distract. They'll plant every story. I mean, we've seen this. I can't tell you how long we see this. Well, we'll get a letter from some senator, and that letter is at the Washington Post 3 days before we even receive it. I mean, it is the nastiest system. Coming from New York, being a total civilian in this process, I've never seen nastiness like mm-hmm. I see from these people.
His wife, Lara Trump, was on the Fox News channel yesterday as well. They're both out there, trying to get out front on these issues.
Yeah, because they must be next, right? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Someone's next.
Yeah. Well, there was a very detailed story today about Ivanka Trump and her when she was running the hotel development wing of the Trump organization.
Mm-hmm.
That very famously, she was involved in a deal at the Trump Soho in which they were saying to people who were buying units there that the place had been 90% sold out when it wasn't. It was about two-thirds sold out. And that they were getting, 500% increases, 500% over market when it was only 130% over market. And so that was that was looked at by the county district attorney in New York, who is Cyrus Vance, who is the son of Cyrus Vance, who was the Secretary of State of the United States back in the 70s. And there is a, but he had received a campaign contribution by someone close to them, and then he chose not to investigate. But in the aftermath of that, there is a similar case in Toronto concerning Ivanka Trump and in the Florida Panhandle, where they were developing something. And in one case, she said they were 90% sold out, and they were only 15% sold out in the project.
Hmm.
Oh, Panama. I'm sorry. Panama City, not Florida. Panama. So you got that. Now, those are both out of the country. So now that would be up to the Panamanian governments to look into that.
Yeah.
Or the Canadian government. But this could also explain why we're so mad at Canadian milk. Right? I mean, that's, there could be, when I saw that this morning, I'm thinking, oh, that's what that's about. Because why is he so mad at Canada? Because they got this, there's a loose string there in Canada. So it's best to beat up on them and show them who's boss before they try to do something goofy with young little Ivanka. Dad, I would marry her if I were not her father.
Ew. Stormy Daniels says she told her she looked like Ivanka right before.
Oh, my God.
That happened, too, according to Stormy.
According to Stormy. I just want to wake up from this. I just want to wake up from this. And I'll take Mike Pence as president. I'll just wake up and take Mike Pence as president. It's like what I want to get. I feel like George Bailey on the bridge right now. Right. I just want to wake up for this. I just want to wake up. I'll take Mike Pence. He's very earnest. And he always looks like something smells bad in the room. All right, let's talk to Violetta. Well, first let's talk to Kim Gordon. What's going on in the WGN newsroom? I didn't see Kim there. She hid behind the desk. I think she's trying to avoid me.
Avoiding you every day, Ro. A mega reason to walk by the Thompson Center tomorrow morning.
Then there's this week on Chicago's Best, stuffed, grilled, fried, and savory. Nothing humble about any of these sandwiches. Catch an all-new Chicago's Best sandwiches Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Top 5-5 continues up to...
Number 3.
Hallway Hillary, remember her?
Which one was
she? We played her on Monday. She is the woman who wouldn't let the guy into the apartment building.
Oh, right.
This is in St. Louis, right?
Yep.
And she's white, the guy was black, she was afraid, he's like a renter in the apartment building too.
I don't like the fact you have your phone in my face.
Okay, I don't like the fact that you're blocking me for where I pay.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But you're not, I don't need to tell you that information, ma'am.
If you want to come into my building.
It's not your building, you're not the owner.
Okay, so this video went viral, and it sparked a lot of controversy, because... The fact is, well, let her explain. She's speaking out now. This is her side of it.
Right.
So when I noticed an individual that I did not know, my only intent was to follow the direction that I had been given by our condo association board members repeatedly, and that is to never allow access to any individual that you do not know. And I simply asked if he lived there. He would not answer me. He would not show me one.
When you're called... a racist? How does that make you feel?
That is absolutely false and heartbreaking. And those are words that truly cut deep. No, I do not think that I did anything wrong.
And what is interesting about this is that there had been a memo that had been released by the condo board association, right. You know, laying these rules out. And the truth of the matter is he could have diffused the situation. I get that, you know, we're in a racially tense moment and it's the Russians who are doing this to us. Or aliens, either way. But the reality is that this could have been handled better. I get it. He's insulted. He's like, all right, listen, because I'm a black guy, I can't even go into my own building now.
Right. You can imagine how he feels. You can imagine how she feels, too. There was a mugging right outside the building recently, and the condo board put out rules that everyone has to use a key fob. And then another tenant said that they're not even letting FedEx and UPS guys in.
Right.
So they were being specially, you know... careful, I guess.
And my suggestion is we have a beer summit with these two, and since it's St. Louis, we'll do it with Anheuser-Busch.
Perfect. That'll solve everything.
Yeah, because
I love beer.
Yeah, thank you.
I like beer.
I like beer, too.
Do you still like beer?
Love it!
Did you like beer in college?
Did you like beer in college?
Whoa.
All right, hold on a second here.
Number 2.
Cardi B's reign as the queen of the Bronx continues. Even though, as Jimmy Kimmel points out, there's a slew of impressive people coming from her hometown.
J-Lo.
So considering that and the spate of celebrities eyeing elected office, Kimmel has asked Cardi B if she would like to be the actual queen of the Bronx.
I'd be interested in politics. I've always been interested in politics.
Decided to run for mayor of New York City, I feel like you could actually win if you wanted to.
It's like it's something that you have to be extremely responsible for.
I see.
So many things that I want to do, like rats, raccoons, want to get rid of them.
Oh, you want to get rid of the rats and raccoons?
Yes.
I think an anti-rat and raccoon platform is a strong one to go from.
All right.
How about it?
Is that actually her or someone doing a bit?
No, that's her.
Oh.
That's her. That's what she is. Did she just have a baby? Or she's pregnant now,
no,
right?
No, she had her baby.
She had her baby?
She's a mom. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes.
She looks amazing.
Yep. She's Cardi B.
Okay.
Or what is it?
Okay. Yeah, a little too much roll there.
Yeah, she makes a noise. All right, finally.
Number one.
Tommy Chong is blowing smoke in the face of President Trump supporters and laughing all the way to the border because he's so happy that Canada is letting him toke a doobie.
Well, I'm going to just really say na 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 to all the Trump guys. Canada's way ahead of the States and way ahead of the world, actually. I'm way ahead of everybody, man. I saw this thing coming years ago, and I'm so proud to be a Canadian.
Dude, where's Canada? Yeah. Let's go to Canada.
Get Ryan Lochte to visit him.
You know what I like about this, particularly? Cause is like, we get all the Canadian milk.
Dude. Is Canada in Europe?
Yeah.
Let's go.
The pothead poster boy, it says here, says you're supposed to travel to celebrate the legalization in Canada, but...
I'm going to just go to Vancouver first, then I go to Victoria tomorrow for a celebration, and then I'm going to be in Kelowna on the 19th for another celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm so active, man.
But he lost his passport.
Oh, really?
Go, yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that happen? Yeah. I was going to go to Canada, but I couldn't.
I forgot. But I got high, is basically what happened.
Because I got high.
I was going to go to Canada, but I got high. I had Cheech and Chong on the show once on the phone from Denver.
But that was a terrible interview.
And Cheech lost Chong and was knocking on all the hotel doors trying to find him.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, on his cell phone. Oh, my God. All right, Dave's not here, man.
The top five at five.
Okay, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720. We have a to make a clarification from an earlier reported news story from Kevin Powell.
What did we get wrong?
You got to be 18 to go to the G League. You can't be 15, unfortunately. So you got to be 18 if you want to go to the G League and get that $125 or $125,000 contract. But that means I'm still eligible, Rose, so I could still fulfill my lifelong dream of being a pro athlete, you know.
It doesn't go to his left very well, though. That was a problem.
No.
It's always going to his right.
I can take a charge, though, and set a screen like nobody out there.
Yeah, okay.
I can set a good
I can get in the way really good. I get run over.
Yeah, I'm going to stand right here. I'm kind of a little slower than your average basketball player in this league. Rock!
Shorter.
Rock!
Basketball was never really my sport.
Yeah. No.
More of a football wrestler type guy.
I'm open over here!
Where is he?
He's a mean ball boy, though.
All right, man, you're going to be in skins. No, I'd rather be with shirts.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Please let me wear a shirt.
Can I be with shirts? all right. Well,
I like the idea of this.
I like the 15-year-old getting a Maserati, though, and you know, like blowing his $125,000 like as soon as he gets it.
Right.
Love the idea of that, but I still don't. I don't know the idea of the one and done. The NBA should make a determination like football has that you got to go more than just a year to college.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's considering. You know, without completely altering the way they want their draft to go down, I think this does make sense. I mean, I think they're worried a little bit. You're going to see more players leaving early to go play over in Europe before they re-enter the draft. So at least they're already sort of in their system. The G League is essentially the NBA's farm system, like baseball has. So it's where players...
And they play at the Sears Center here, right? Do we have a team? Is there like the mini bowls or something?
Yeah. So that's the bowls. You can sign players. They call them two-way contracts. So you can have guys, like in baseball, you can call them up, you know, throughout the year or send them back down, or, you know, if an injury happens, you can call a guy back up. So if a player doesn't want to go and do a one and done type thing, they can now potentially sign a $125,000 five month
contract for the G League.
I want to talk about Pets here in just a second because it's a very important story. But this kid is starting for the Bulls tonight as a guard because
Cameron Payne.
Who's going to start?
Well, Chris Dunn's not playing because he had to leave the team for a personal matter, so they're not off to a great start.
I like that, a personal matter.
What is that?
Picking up his dry cleaning. He didn't have time.
We don't know for sure.
Maybe it's something serious, guys. Can't make fun
of it. Could be. Wendell Carter Jr., the rookie they drafted, is starting. Bobby Portis is playing. Justin Holiday and Zach LaVine. That's the guy they want to
love
be.
Him from Maroon 5.
I think he's great.
The voice. He's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's Adam LaVine. Zach must be his brother.
Adam LaVine.
I bet Adam LaVine has a brother named Zach. It's very confusing, though. When Zach LaVine takes the court, you're like, that does not look like Zach LaVine.
One guy sings, one guy can dunk the basketball.
Yeah.
So, campaign starting for Chris Dunn. Bulls shorthanded. Lauri Markkanen's out for the first month here. Denzel Valentine's out. So, it's going to be a tough one in Philly.
Is this their first game?
Yes.
Yeah, first game of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, the regular season. They've been sort of playing at the United Center just a little bit in some preseason. I wouldn't even classify it as that. More of like running up and down the court, watching the other guys score. That's been fun.
Defense is going to be an issue this year. I'll say that.
I don't know. I want them to be so good, and they are. You know, it's the team that can actually make a turnaround, right? I mean, that's the thing in the NBA right now is that you're like every team in the NBA is one player away from being great.
Right, but normally that player, you have to get him, you know, lure him away from it. You get LeBron James, or you get Kevin Durant going to Golden State. Right. LeBron's out of the East, so the East is wide open, but
I don't think the Bulls are going to do much this year.
All right.
I got something else for you. And I believe that our own Anna DeVlantis is the part of the problem, not part of the solution here.
I believe I'm guilty as charged.
There is a study, there's economic reality here. You're going to spend there's actually 30 million people, pet owners, are going to spend an estimated $500 million. $500 million on Halloween costumes for their pets.
That's insane.
Collectively, that's not, what is it, like $30 a pet?
And it's 200, now that is more than double the amount since 2010. This is according to the National Retail Federation.
Halloween spending
also has
alone
a G League too.
Is crazy.
I just bought my Halloween costume. Whoa. Part of it.
Okay.
I started with the shoes. I found these really amazing shoes. I'm either going to be a cat or a cheetah or a giraffe. I just have to find a dress. But I spent a lot already just on the dang boots. So I see how this number goes up.
How does slutty giraffe work? Is there such a thing as a slutty giraffe?
Yeah.
Or what do they call that when it's like the nurse or whatever?
The thing is, I already found a dress, but I can't tell what the print is, if it's cheetah or giraffe. So I already have it. I just don't know. It's a velvet one-piece dress, just like a mini.
How did this become about her?
I don't know. About pets.
Yeah, we were talking about pets.
Well, I'm going to
be a cheetah's a pet, I suppose, for someone. Maybe.
Same guy who had the alligator that he let go in the lake. Same dude.
So anyway, back to the article.
Yeah, thank you. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it. So anyway, the 480 million dollars. Pet costumes represent 15% of the total costume sales.
Yeah, because some people don't want to dress up themselves, and they dress up their pet. It's kind of fun.
All right, what are you sending Blossom as?
Well, Blossom's going to be a flamingo, because my daughter's going to be a flamingo, and there was a cute little matching dog costume, of course. So I think it was like $30, and we bought the dog costume. I haven't put it on her yet, though.
How do you even dress it as a flamingo? Because doesn't it kind of have to like have that long leg, you know?
It's got like I don't know, the body part, the legs kind of dangle. They don't really go on the dog.
Dog's tripping all over the street. And I like when you take your dog trick or treating, and then it wants to fight with everybody that's going down. At least that was my experience. The dog wanted to fight with everybody going down the street because it's freaked out because everybody's in a costume,
right?
And it's looking around, going, whoa, what is that?
Or everyone looks like a chew toy, you know.
The other, and I, honest to God, I think when you put them in a costume, they look at you.
And they look depressed.
Some of them have a sad look.
Yeah.
I think Blossom's going
to
love it.
They're either sad or they try to rip it off and chew it like it's a
And then you tell them, no, no.
Yes.
And then they look sad because right. they know they're not supposed to.
My old dog got used to this.
Getting dressed up?
Yes.
See? And
because
okay
it was not
that.
On me.
Who did it?
It was not on me.
What do you mean it wasn't on
I
you?
Was, I
you
was
were
not
the kid
one,
in the
I,
household?
No, I'm t- no, this is my, you know,
oh,
from 10 years ago.
As an adult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my, and he got so used to it. And somehow now, I don't understand how this is. The dog knows when its picture's being taken. It knows the difference between a camera and an iPhone and a whole, and I have no idea how the dog knows this.
And they don't like it?
No, some of them pose for it.
Yeah, you can almost see a dog smile now. They're like,
yeah.
Okay.
So, we're going to take a picture. And they're like, okay.
They know what to do.
And
they see us doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do. They're like, okay, well, yeah, all right. I see. Okay, we're going to stand there. Okay, now I'm going to, little mouth open, smile. That's what I'm going to do.
Get me from the left. Those are my
right,
good
hold
spots.
On. And then I'm going to, oh, look at how cute I look. Okay, take it. How long do I have to stand here like this? That's what the dog is saying. Now, I will say this about my dog was that he was very kind about it after a while. But the idea of like a, you know, a full grown, he had a Superman costume.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Superman
cape.
That's cute. Yeah. I never fully understood what was going to happen. It did look adorable in it, but it was like, I felt weird because we were weren't trick or treating because there weren't little kids in the house. My daughter was already out of the house. And the dog would just at the door would then stand there, and all these kids would show up at the door, and the dog didn't really like kids, so that was real. It's really not the perfect situation.
No,
because you know you get the you know the kids there right, and the you know standing there just all kind of waiting for
right.
something.
And there's a lot of them, right? Because the kids they move in massive groups on Halloween, so the dogs probably get freaked out.
Yeah,
and they can't eat candy anyway, so they're like, "What am I here for?" Getting trampled by 5-year-olds, and then I can't even eat. But they smell everything.
Hold on a second.
I knew you were
this.
Trying to get your doorbell. I'm
it
like,
was,
is it not
it
working?
It was like
What's
this, and then
on?
We would open up the door, and then it would be, okay, down, Barkley, down, 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 down. And then children screaming and crying and running away. But he's in a Superman, does he look cute in a Superman outfit?
You see it? Well, Halloween's supposed to be scary.
Yeah.
My favorite dog costume that's out there right now, a lot of people are putting it on social media too. It's like a piece of sushi. So the dog's body uh-huh. is the white, you know, like rice, and then there's like whatever, shrimp or something, a piece of eel on top.
A pretty good creepy one. It looks like on a small dog, if you dress him up like a spider, because then the legs are coming out on the side, and when the dog runs, it looks like a giant, giant spider just crawling through.
See, this is why you do it. Because that's so adorable.
Over $1 billion? Is that what you said? It's crazy.
Wait, no. Half a billion.
$500 million.
I mean,
people
I guess
love their
because,
pets.
Yeah, pets are part of the family.
They are. They're totally are.
Now, Brian, our sonic genius, just sent us a picture of his dog, Diggle, wearing this vest, and it's got like oven grinder monkey kind of things. On the back of it?
Yeah, so it looks like he's riding the dog.
Right, looks like a monkey riding the dog.
Oh, you know what? I think he might be the magic carpet, and then that's like the monkey riding the carpet.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that a monkey I'm supposed to know about?
I think so. It looks, well, it kind of looks like the monkey from Aladdin.
Okay, so that's what's happening there.
Did I get this?
Yeah, I think we took you off.
As soon as we knew I was in on the dog thing, we suspended you
for the Tom Brady comments earlier,
no.
We took you off all of
Double
the...
because I dressed my pet up for Halloween?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that one's pretty funny, the monkey one. I like that one.
Yeah, but does the dog look happy is the question.
So then when the kids come to the door, the Alzheimer household, is it going to be more of the...
No, Diggle is so cute and sweet. Nobody would... They'd love Diggle. Diggle?
You do not want a dog with perimeter issues answering the door. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Like a herder dog. Sheepdog or something.
All right. So if that's what you do.
You got to do it. It's fun. The dogs deal with it for one day. A couple hours. It's fun.
But
you get a lot of attention.
One day? I feel like people dress up their dogs like all year for different stuff.
Yeah. And the dog, I mean, it's... And people, as soon as somebody gets sunglasses, they put them on the dog. If you notice that, you get a pair of sunglasses, you're like, hey, you know what? You know, so this, let's see if they look good on the dog.
Right. Are there sexy dog costumes? Because you know how there's a sexy everything costume
No, you need a...
Oh, God.
Because I've never seen that. Just wondering.
Dogs are too everything to corrupt else. Like that. Can't do that.
Oh, Andrea Darlis is standing by with the tease for the news at the top of the hour.
Yes. Well,
do you have a dog?
I used to have a dog, and I never dressed her up. I always felt bad because my neighbor had two pugs, and he made them go as Dorothy and the Tin Man one year.
Oh, boy.
And
Tin Man.
That's hard to wear. Oh, my God. I felt so sorry. Because they're pugs. They're naturally kind of beefy. Mm-hmm. I felt so sorry. He tried to squeeze this poor dog into...
Oh, then you're fat-shaming the dog. Oh, it's God.
Totally
it's awful. Yeah, it's awful. It's a horrifying thing. Yes, go ahead. What do you have at the top of the hour?
Coming up at 6 o'clock, Eddie Johnson meets with top cops from New York and L.A. today. We'll tell you what they had to say.
With Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN.
I like the sound of that music. Can only mean one thing. Richard Roper is here. That's all it takes to scare Ro. It gets me excited about it.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
The best. Horror theme. Maybe right up there with the Exorcist theme, from Halloween, right? Which John Carpenter, the original director, actually did the theme, too. Actually composed the music. So, guys, welcome to the movie season, and it is the season of the witch. We are in October, and we have Halloween coming out.
Yay. With Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, and here's the cool thing about this. One of the many cool things about this movie. Okay, so the original Halloween came out in 1978, right? Mm-hmm. John Carpenter classic, set in the town of Haddonfield, Illinois.
Oh, fictional suburb. Illinois!
Yes, it's
Isn't
Illinois.
That crazy?
Fictional suburb of where? Please make it St. Louis.
Just near Downers Grove, pretty much, you know. So,
oh, no!
And, you know, at the time, you know, we've seen so many of these movies, but that was really groundbreaking. That was the first one where you saw things from the killer's point of view, those long tracking shots. And, you know, this was before Jason, Friday the 13th, and all the other kind of ripoffs of Michael Myers. And this one was kind of a cut above because there was this whole backstory about how Michael Myers, as a young kid, stabbed his sister and then was put away and then got out and had that mask and all that stuff. And
so
then,
creepy.
And then participated in the babysitter murders, as they came to be known.
Oh,
and of course, Jamie Lee Curtis played Laurie Strode, the teenager who was pure, and that's why she didn't get killed. Because back in the day, if you were in those horror movies, if you had the sex, whether it was Elm Street or Friday the 13th, you would get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So the great thing about this is, okay, after that, then there were nine sequels, something like that. There was Halloween 2, there was Halloween H2O, there was Halloween 20, and it got weirder and weirder. The greatest thing about this is they said, just forget about all those other sequels. That never happened. This is the direct descendant of the original. It takes place 40 years after that movie. Forget about all that other stuff, because they always said Michael Myers was out. In this movie, he's been in prison in
Illinois.
How do
they let us know that? You just have to assume
it. You just have to assume that. Yeah, you see that early on. It's just like the early scene. There's Michael Myers, and you hear the doctor saying, he's been imprisoned for 40 years, ever since the babysitter murders of Haddonfield, Illinois. And you take it from there, and now Jamie Lee Curtis is a grandmother who has never really recovered and has kind of gone over the deep end and has outfitted her whole home. It's like with a panic room and armory, and she's convinced one day he's going to get out and come after her.
Don't blame her.
Yeah, well, and guess what? If he doesn't, that's a short movie. And he stayed in prison. He died an old man in prison.
And he goes into a work release program, and he never does anything else again.
And he performs his life.
Worst movie ever.
He taught the law to other prisoners and eventually, became a veterinarian.
And then was the governor of Illinois.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Okay,
that
so here's,
didn't happen.
So we're going to play a clip here. And this is one of the neat conceits of this movie. It starts off with two reporters who have journeyed to meet Michael Myers and then interview Laurie Strode, and they're podcasters who are doing a thing. So just like those, Serial and all those really famous things. So it kind of takes off on that. So these are the two podcasters. They have made their way to the home of Jamie Lee Curtis's Laurie Strode to interview her about Michael Myers.
Michael Myers is a human being who killed his sister when he was 6 years old, and he came after you. We just want to know why. We want a glimpse inside his mind.
Michael Myers murdered 5 people. And he's a human being, we need to understand.
They're transferring him.
Tomorrow, 7 o'clock. You know, he'll be locked away until the end of his days. That's the idea.
Laurie, we saw him. We met with Michael. I showed him the mask. It was nothing. No response, nothing. He won't talk to anyone. Never has, but I think he might speak with you.
I'm a little confused. I'm sorry, because does he get let out or does he escape?
Well, here you go. You know, here's the thing. Apparently, in the state of Illinois, ever since The Fugitive, they just don't do a good job of transporting prisoners in buses.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And what a brilliant idea to put the most dangerous criminal of all on a bus with a bunch of other criminally insane individuals on Halloween night. What could possibly go wrong when the bus gets overturned? Also, a little bit of a spoiler alert. Those two pompous, arrogant, snooty podcasters.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't
just,
work.
Let's
well
just say there's a little wish fulfillment that happens there. What happens to them eventually?
It's kind of the rule of horror movies, and that's one of the categories.
Yes,
I think.
Like, you know, they get a little too close to Michael Myers pretty early on. So then he's loose in the town of Haddonfield. So all these people that have thought of, you know, crazy old Laurie Strode, who never got over the killings of 40 years ago, and has been talking about how they're going to come after her. Now all of a sudden, people are like, oh, she had a point, because now he's got the mask on, and he just slashes and slices and dices his way through the town until eventually, of course, there's confrontation after confrontation. 3 stars for Halloween. It's Ooh. It's very straightforward. The director, David Gordon Green, basically is paying tribute to John Carpenter. It looks like a B movie. The opening credits have that kind of those yellow neon letters you always yeah. see in the movies. So it's not, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's not well filmed, because this is what he's trying for. It's a slasher film. It's not, there's not a bunch of clever, you know, crazy twists and things like that. It's Michael Myers, you know, killing people in increasingly creative ways.
Mm.
Ooh.
Huh.
Saudis. Yeah. Did you call him a Saudi?
Yeah. Like the Saudis.
too soon.
Wow. I mean, the original, it just goes down as one of those great, like, you know, it came out when I was like in 8th grade or something. So that was where you go, like, to the theater to go see it, and you like the girls jump in your lap, and that movie will always be close to my heart.
I remember from slumber parties, because everyone would get a VHS tape whose parents wouldn't let them see the movie because it was R. And then you'd show it and freak everybody out late at night.
And it made the equivalent of like $300 million in today's dollars for like 8. I mean, it was a huge, huge hit because and that repeatability.
And made Jamie Lee Curtis a gigantic star.
Yeah, yes. That was really her first. And of course, you know, at the time it was such a brilliant move too, because her mother was in the most famous slashing scene in the history of movies in Psycho, Janet Leigh. So now you've got her being, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis being chased by someone with a giant knife. And of course, the famous scene, and 40 years, I think we can tell people, but the great scene at the end, because Michael Myers gets shot like 8 times, pushed over the balcony, and they see him on the ground, and then they look back, and then there's
He's
nobody
not there,
there in the backyard.
Okay.
This is one of those very few films where I was not bothered by the fact that people were yelling at the screen during the movie. You're kind of supposed to.
Look out, Jamie Lee Curtis!
Well, you know, every time there's like a car that's just stalled in the driveway and the police, and they're like, what the heck? And they're like, why is it anybody? Let me just go up and knock on the window of that car. Or, hey, let's open this closet.
Do they still do the things like falling when they're running away from the killer?
There's a little stumbling. There's also that thing, who's there? Well, they hear someone, I'm coming in! And you know, the first time you open the closet, you're going to get the rattling hangers and a few shirts that look like the person. He's never going to be there. He's going to be behind you or in the next closet.
You just got to know that.
There's always
that's
that moment where they go, or it's like, oh, it was just the cat, and they go, Tabby,
of course it was.
Oh, Tabby, come on in, and then they come in.
Oh, hell, that was a hanger. I like to do. I scream at the non-scary parts. That's what I like to do. I screen talk to the like. Those are just hangers.
Just a kitty cat. Don't worry.
That's okay. You're going to be fine, Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's great, too. Jamie Lee. It's great to see her playing this character 40 years down the road.
A grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah. And Judy Greer plays her daughter, because Judy Greer has to be in every movie or TV show ever. And she's terrific. Nicely done.
That's a 3 stars. You like it because
it's what it is.
Faithful to the old one. Also gives you, sort of takes you back a little bit in time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And has that, you know, that nice.
But very slashery, though.
Yeah.
Very gory.
It's what they used to call a splatter movie. It's not, you know, no big, you know, no writing awards coming for this.
Okay. Movie. But is it, it's, But it's not like just a thrill kill movie either. It's not quite.
No, it's better. It's not like Saw.
Like a grinder. Like
yeah, and the guy that plays Michael Myers, who you never see, and it's still a good performance. It's the original dude from back then.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because they've had a million, you know, European basketball players usually just playing. You know, you just got a tall 6'8" guy and stick a mask on.
It would be really funny if Mike Myers played Michael Myers.
Wouldn't that? I was wondering if they could do that.
All right. Richard Roper is brought to us by Arkadeck.
Thank you, Arkadeck.
We're gonna talk about the new Steve Carell movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two movies coming out right now, but this is the first of the two that will be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And called Beautiful Boy.
Yes.
And the trailer is very good.
Oh, here we go. Trailer park reviews.
And then Chicago's very own, my fellow Roman, Ike Barinholtz.
That's right. Your buddy.
Is in a film as well. We'll talk about that. That's coming along with Nora Dunn. She's from Chicago as well.
Oh,
and Tiffany Haddish.
Oh.
Who is in every
role
now.
Right now.
She is. It is now a federal law.
Yep.
This is held over from the Obama administration.
Yes.
It is a federal law that requires Tiffany Haddish to be in every single film. Now, when Trump finds out about this, he's going to repeal that as well.
I thought that name was for my daughter only. I never talked to. I have a daughter.
Which one is she?
He's not named a word. He has a daughter named Tiffany. Here we go. Here's Andrea. Let's find out what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Wrote this big Amber Alert for this 7-month-old girl taken near Rockford has been canceled. She's been found. We'll have details coming up at 6:30.
Then there's this. Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlan weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, Richard Roper, speaking of Arkadeck, is brought to you by Arkadeck. He's here. And he gave 3 stars to Halloween.
I'm going to go see that.
Which, all these things like all open tonight, too, late, right?
Yes.
Yeah. There's like a midnight showing that a lot of people are saying
absolutely
would be super creepy to go to.
All fired up to see that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Bro, you should go to it.
No, I don't think so. Look out, Jamie Lee Curtis!
Oh, my goodness.
Is it okay to screen talk in that movie? Do you think it's okay?
Ro does that at all movies.
He does.
Yeah.
Right. My mom does,
that
too.
Lawyer would never get away at that in the court of law!
Right.
No heckling.
My mom wants to teach people lessons. That is not right to do that.
Oh, gosh.
So that everyone hears that.
Look at Bill Armstrong! The moon's coming at you!
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird when you did that. I heard about that.
Yeah. Look out, Lady Gaga!
Amy, now, my God.
We're going to have you on stage. We're going to make you sing on stage, Lady Gaga!
Best be warming up, girl.
Boy.
The whole thing. I get it. Yeah. I get
kicked out of IMAX, Navy Pier. You know?
Nobody does that.
That moon is huge!
Oh, wait, you're going to hit the moon! You're going to hit the moon! You're going to hit the moon!
Oh,
sure. That was close, everybody.
Phew. They made it.
What did he say when he landed? I couldn't hear.
The guy was talking to
him. All right. Let's start with Beautiful Boy, Steve Carell.
Yes. Beautiful Boy, Steve Carell, you know, once again proving, you know, he's got these dramatic chops. And this is based on the true story. David Sheff is a journalist who did a lot of interviews for Rolling Stone, Playboy, like the John Lennon interview and stuff, like a very esteemed journalist. And in the early 2000s, his son in real life became addicted to crystal meth. And he kind of took a journalist approach to trying to figure out, because he kept, you know, the kid was in and out of rehab. And he finally just sort of like really started to explore it almost from a journalist point of view. How can I understand this? Why would a boy, beautiful boy, as he says, which is a John Lennon song, you know, who had everything, you know, beautiful, loving home, upper middle class, you know, upbringing, super smart, you know, what happens? And of course, there is, you know, addiction does not discriminate. You know, it's not only in poor neighborhoods, it's not only happened to troubled people, kids get hooked. So it's based on it's actually twin memoirs, because the dad wrote a book and the son wrote a book as well, you know, telling the story from their points of view. And this is the adaptation of that. And it's really good and it's really tough to sit through. You know, I'm giving it also 3 stars. But and Timothée Chalamet, who is Call Me By Your Name, is like one of the great young actors of our generation, plays the son. And Steve Carell is great. And Maura Tierney, who people might know from
like
The Affair
ER.
And some other things. She's in ER, and she plays the stepmother, who's just, you know, wonderful. It's brilliantly done. I do feel like we've seen this story a lot in the movies, you know, where he, you know, they make excuses for him. They send him to rehab. He breaks their hearts. They send him away. They're like, I'm done. Then he comes back home.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of cycle. But it is so very, very well done. Three stars.
But you got to be ready for it. And then The Oath with Chicago's own Ike Barinholtz.
Yes. And we're going to complete the 3-star trilogy. I'm giving 3 stars to this as well. Chicago's own Ike Barinholtz. People know him from Mad TV. You might know him from The Mindy Project. He also wrote and directed as well as stars in this one. And it is a very timely black comedy about a family that lives in a fictional America. America, where there's a very, very divisive kind of president who has people polarized, and now is asking everyone to sign a loyalty oath, which is, I'm like, Ike, why would you give him that idea? And in the movie, it's like, well, you don't have to sign it, but if you don't, the new volunteer Homeland Citizens Brigade might become knocking on your door and ask you why you didn't sign it. So, and it's all set over Thanksgiving dinner, and Ike is the insufferable, always right liberal, which is one of the cool things about this movie, because he, you know,
he plays a
character who's just as smug and just as intolerant of anybody else's opinion. And then Ike's brother John Barinholtz is the guy that says, well, I just saw on, you know, deepstate.com that, you know, like, look, and he, you know, there's all that back and forth, and then it becomes incredibly dark and bloody and violent. It really takes a crazy turn. I liked what he did with it. I think if it was just everybody bickering it over Thanksgiving about politics, but it is because of that.
So it's a little bit of like Get Out. It sort of turns into Get Out.
You know, it does have, I would say, a little bit of that.
Okay, all right.
There you go.
All right, there we go. I like
that. 3 for 3, 3 stars, 3 movies.
All right.
3 reviews.
Halloween. A lot of choices. The Oath.
The Oath. And Beautiful Boy.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you. Stay right here, Richard. We need to talk about something very important on the other side.
Yes, we
do.
Cool.
But first, I would like to tell you that we've got Andre Darlis' news in 2 minutes. It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes. Look who we have here.
Now, you know it is heading toward the holiday time when this happens. We're getting ready now for the 12th annual Aces Up Charity Poker Tournament benefiting Urban Prep Academies. And Richard Roper and Chicago Bears great Chris Zorich, along with Alexi Janulius, the former treasurer of the state of Illinois, and the best-looking man in America, according to every woman I have ever met.
Now
including
two,
good-looking guy.
Now two of the best-looking daughters in America, along with Anna,
and he's got a lovely mom.
Yeah.
Just like warm,
the wife
wonderful
that puts up with
human
them.
Being.
And he's not here, so, you know, because apparently he's got some sort of family commitment.
Yeah.
Whatever. Alexi.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
I know. Any woman I have ever dated or been married to, when Alexi walks by, they're like, I'm going to leave this guy for you right now. I don't know why. I don't know what goes on.
But he's happily married. Yeah. Babies.
But you know what?
So out of his class. He married up so much.
Chris. Yes. Way up. Chris Zorich and Tim King are here. Now, Tim King, of course.
Hi,
Chris. Hi, Tim.
Hi, guys.
Now, this Tim King, now he runs this Urban Prep Academy.
He's the CEO.
Very impressive guy.
And on the educational scene in America, anytime they talk about things about urban education in major cities where they're in crime-ridden areas, Tim King's name gets mentioned, and they talk about the incredible success of Urban Prep Academies. They want to replicate this around the country in terms of charter schools.
Absolutely.
There are some that are more effective than others, and Tim is right very much at the top.
100% of Urban Prep graduates are accepted into
four-year
colleges
and
universities.
Yes. 100%. So incredible year after year after year.
Yeah,
and really the
signing ceremony is amazing, because you'll hear like some of these students will be like, there's 36 schools.
Yeah, they're overachievers. We're really excited about this year because this is our 10th anniversary of 100%.
That's amazing.
So for
a decade.
The 10th
Congrats.
Year in a row. And a lot of pressure on the class of 2019.
this is how it starts.
If they mess it up, be in big trouble.
So how many kids total?
So we have 1,000 students across the three campuses.
Yeah.
And we have graduated a couple of that. I think we might be at our 2,000th graduate this year.
So you're going to have about 200 kids graduating
this year, right? That's right,
okay.
Yes.
So now these 200 kids are going to graduate. And I think this is the most beautiful thing. Tim is a total geek. Known Tim a long time. I love him like a brother, but I'm going to tell you, the guy's a geek.
He loves
his Harry Potter.
Nerd alert.
He's Black Geek. Blackgeek.com. That was
a movie with Samuel L. Jackson. I remember that.
So he uses the whole Hogwarts concept here, right? You use the concept. It's the sort of a British system school. The kids have to dress up for this, but you actually use that's those Harry Potter movies as kind of an instructional
not the movies,
kind of a thing.
The books. Not
right, the
books. Right,
he's a purist. Oh, my gosh.
So,
he's
listen,
a purist.
The,
he's like, those movies are too short.
I don't want anyone to think I'm a quack or something out here just like trying to have a, right. You know, a school of witchcraft and wizardry.
I know, I'm always
Englewood.
Like, I'm just so glad he wasn't influenced by the Police Academy movies growing up.
Yeah, yeah. Good
there,
call.
There are definitely elements of Harry Potter and that world in urban prep. And, you know, like our school colors are red and gold, which are the
crest.
Same colors as Gryffindor and, you know, our crest. So they're those types of elements. But, Ro, you're right in that, you know, our students do wear jackets and ties every day to school. And that is, you know, rooted in a lot of old British prep school, boarding school
pledge
type
every
thing.
Morning.
Yeah. So there's an element of that. But if you want to, like, go even further back, something we do every morning is something we call community. Mm-hmm. And it's really all of our students gathering in the gym, and we talk about what they're doing well. We're talking about what they need to improve upon. And that actually is a really old African tradition of communities coming together and talking about what the community needs to do in order to be successful. So, you know, there are elements of all over, there are elements from all over the world, I think, that we're bringing
and amazingly successful.
Yeah.
And now you've got kids who've been, you know, out of your program for more than a decade.
Yeah.
Right?
So they mentor some of your
Right. I mean, I get really teary eyed, you know, when I think about this, but there are about 12 urban prep graduates who went on to college, graduated from college, and they chose to come back and work at urban prep.
Oh,
isn't that amazing?
So now they're
That's
working
awesome.
At urban prep. And this recently we had a reception for highly selective colleges and universities. And so these reps came and we had our top students meeting with them. And I found a picture from the first one we did. And in that picture there was this student who was a senior talking to a college rep and now he came to the most recent one talking to an urban prep student about his college.
Wow.
And so here you've got
cool.
this, you know, this transition of, you know, once being the student and now
you're creating
being
a great
teacher,
tradition.
Being the mentor.
Really
so
is.
It's really powerful.
Awesome.
And that's really what you know, empowering these communities are about. And this is what, you know, I
these are kids. We should point this out. These are kids from the toughest neighborhoods. Your schools are on the west side. They are you have a campus in Englewood.
Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, Lawndale, right?
Yeah, so not that far west, but on the near west side of the city. And we have about an 85% poverty rate for our students. And they have really tough backgrounds. This, you know, not to bring down the conversation, but to this point, Ro, 29 urban prep students and graduates have been shot since we opened, and 13 of them have been killed. And for these young men, the violence that you hear about all the time in the news is a daily occurrence for them.
Right.
It's something that happens to them every day. And this is why, you know, in my mind, I feel it's so important that, you know, we have these schools, and why I'm so grateful to Chris and Richard for supporting urban prep in this way by being a part of this charity poker tournament that we had that raises money for the schools.
And this is going to happen a week from today, October 25th, at the Chicago Sports Museum, Water Tower Place. That's a Harry Carey's restaurant on the 7th floor. And this is
ask for Grant.
And if
the publicity shy.
Well, it's in the Sports Museum. They move.
It's actually a really great place for it.
It
has become the home for this now. Yeah.
Location.
And it is such an amazing night of fun. And all I know is a number of times Chris Zorich has had to pick me up and cradle me like a baby and carry me out.
After you lost?
Because, well, I lose, but what I do is you can buy back in.
Yes.
And I keep buying back because it's so much fun to play with this group
of
people.
You don't want to leave.
And that's the thing, you know, as well as a lot of local media, you know, and has come a lot of years. But, you know, if you want to sit down, you want a chance to play poker with Chris Zorich, Notre Dame National Championship Team, College Football Hall of Fame, Chicago Bears, Washington Redskins, now turning things around at Chicago State.
Right. He's right.
And
expert.
Have a shot with him. You can talk him into it.
Or 12.
Only once in a while, but you can talk him into that. And he actually plays. You know, it's not like old Chris just shows up and says hello. He'll sit and, you know, and play. Alexi Janulius will play.
Yeah.
I'll play. I'll knock your ass out in a heartbeat.
And
I don't care.
You did unceremoniously last year. You took me and Ro out with
you
one of the best hands I've ever seen.
Straight flush to the king, guys. To the king.
I had him dead to rights. And I just
one outer on the river.
year.
I had a royal flush.
You had a flush.
Flush.
I
flush.
Had
you had
the
royal
flush.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, the fact that you think I care? Actually, right. on Third Street.
Right.
We still play.
Of course he remembers.
Well, there's some wonderful prizes too, and yes, we continually say it's for the kids, and it is, and we raise a lot of money. But if you win.
So it's about $25,000 prize. And it's really
terrific. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
And you get to play with people who, you may not get to actually hang out with. And you get to play poker with them and, have a few shots
anchor
with them if you want.
And football and, players. And every,
yeah, it's really. And even if that doesn't happen, you still get to enjoy this open bar.
Yeah, you can be a spectator. You don't have to play. You
That's
can hang
right.
out.
We've
You're
got
more than welcome
blackjack
to come and heckle.
And
there's heckling is
yeah.
encouraged.
Oh, yeah. Of course there is.
Usually the WGN crowd usually occasionally
yeah.
be like, oh, yeah.
And if you knock out one of our celebrities, like if you knock yes. out Richard Roper.
Mm-hmm, which is
or
hard
Chris
to do.
Zorich,
very hard to do.
Then you get a special prize.
Special
you get their
bounty.
Bounties.
Yes.
So yeah, you get, it was. And let me just tell you that 2 years ago, Richard and I got knocked out at the same table by...
Not by the same person. Person, though.
Yes, by Judy Pilak's best friend.
Oh, gosh.
Our
yeah.
new person's
not
best
let you
friend,
forget it.
Who was
Bethany Frankel, basically.
I don't know how drunk she was,
lovely,
but I will say
person.
This. She acted like she was drunk.
Oh,
and
my
gosh. We totally thought we had her. Both of us, yeah. different hands,
Is this,
thought we had her.
She rolled, she rolled you.
My cards are all duplicates. I have four tens. That's no good, right? Because I got the same card four times. Shut up.
Yeah, it was very fun. She knew exactly what she was doing. This is such a. For tickets and information, acesupturney.com. ACESUP.com. AcesUpTourney.com.
You got to
go check this out. If you've not done this is so really, really, really great. The tickets are $250. It's so worth it. If you want to just be a spectator and just drink, $75 to go in and do that and watch this happen.
Yeah. Food and drink.
It's
$75 will be gone the first hour. You will
That's
eat and drink your way through
yeah.
that easily. Great stuff. The whole staff at Harry Carey's is wonderful. The dealers that come out, we get volunteer
yeah.
dealers usually
yes.
so
much fun.
Help out as well.
It's
great,
so much
great.
It goes into
one
night.
Of my favorite evenings of the
yeah,
year.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So, and that's, of course, at Water Tower Place.
Yeah.
Right?
Very convenient valet parking, the whole deal for you there.
Chris, I want to ask you just two questions before we let you go.
Go Bears.
You might. Yeah, okay.
That's my second one.
Second one, but I'm going to ask you right after this, okay? Can you hold
nice
on?
Nice tease. That's a
nice
tease.
Chris,
professional broadcaster.
I not only have questions about our beloved Chicago Bears, but I also have a few Fighting Irish questions
Ooh.
For you.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and then I got some Chicago State questions for you as well.
It's even better.
So let's... Don't anybody move. Go right now. Run, don't walk to acesupturney.com and get your tickets for next Thursday night. This is something, it's for a great cause and you're going to have a great time. It is, we say that about a lot of charitable events throughout the year, and I don't mean them about any of them except for this one.
That's
what I want to say.
Thank you, Ron.
Yes.
That's awesome.
All right, so let's check in now. Andrea, what's coming up at the top of the hour from the WGN newsroom? She's got. She's.
We have a,
we're going to make
Black
this
Hawks
up
game
now.
Coming up at 7. Pre-game.
That's.
Chris Bozo.
I knew that. It's a funny thing. I didn't know that.
I know.
Violetta.
Do you behave at weddings? A former wedding videographer has written a wedding book. You stay classy, wedding people. He's talking about it on the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 9:10. You know
Dang
who
it.
You are.
I got to look at the index for that one.
Really?
Roper Richard.
All right.
That's a great idea for a book.
Stand by right here. Okay. Aces Up Attorney. That's what we're talking with. Mm-hmm. We got Tim King here. Mm-hmm. We got the great Chris Zorich here. The great Richard Roper here. It's a week from tonight.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thursday night.
Amazing.
Tonight at the Water Tower Place, 7th floor at Water Tower Place. I want to ask Chris Zorich very quickly here. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the Bears against the New England Patriots on Sunday?
Jacked. I will actually be there hanging out in the very good seats in the suites.
Are you doing an alumni thing?
I am doing an alumni thing, hanging out and going from suite to suite, mm-hmm. Talking about the Bears and how awesome they're going to be this year.
Yeah, they are. The defense is pretty impressive.
Very good.
If Khalil Mack's ankle's bad, can you play?
Are you kidding me? He doesn't need an ankle to play. You see?
He's super
put a
human.
Wheel, just put a wheel on him like those dogs that, they
Well, I mean, the idea in the beginning, I was kind of like, it's a lot for one person, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, the first game.
Amazing.
Whoops. He made it.
Notre Dame, Notre Dame make the playoffs?
I mean, they have to. Four right now? if they went out, see what helps them. They're not in a conference.
Yes, or does that hurt them?
Well, again, depending who you talk to, but an undefeated Notre Dame team, come on!
Yeah, right.
That's what America wants in college football, undefeated Notre Dame team.
That's true.
Now, if you got Alabama, that's a different story. But, you know, you're talking about being there, and that's the most important thing.
All right, and Chicago State basketball.
Hello!
How are they going to be? How are the Cougars?
The Cougars are going to be awesome this year. Considering I just got there 5 months ago.
What happened to that Northwestern? Are they going to play Northwestern earlier this season?
Northwestern
down at Chicago State. Oh, at Northwestern. At the new arena.
This year. Hopefully, we can get that return game that we've talked about.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm always working. Get that happening. Always working angles.
Good man.
All right. There. He just got there. This is good. He's good. Your athletic director at Chicago State University. Wow.
I'm having a blast. Having a blast.
That's awesome.
Part of the renaissance of Chicago State.
There you go. Well, that is absolutely true.
I appreciate
absolutely
that.
True.
It's true.
No, it is true. And Chris Zorich is one of those guys. I had the great pleasure of being at an event at your house a couple of years ago, and Chris Zorich is exactly as advertised. He is not. Mm-hmm. There is not. Here's a guy who played the toughest sport there is. He bit people's ears off. His ears are bitten off. I don't know, whatever goes on. And he's just the nicest guy, the most warm,
like a teddy bear,
welcoming human being.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unbelievable. Sweet. And he's got these beautiful dogs in his house. He's got
did the dogs like you, Rob? Because I know dogs like you.
Let me just tell you this.
They tend to be attracted to you.
He has statues of his own dogs, in his house. This is true.
The previous generation.
I walk in.
Exactly.
Good job.
And I walk in, and he has a couch in his house that is half eaten by the dogs.
No!
And I'm like, all right, I'm going out over here. I gotta go.
And you gotta tell the story too. Can you tell the story? Icy story. Can you tell the story
in 30 seconds?
Yes, I can. 30 seconds. So I was watching television one day, and I saw a Rottweiler that was being rescued that went through a pond. I mean, it was going through the water. I had a video of it. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I lost one of my rots a couple months ago.
Aww.
Let me call. I called the shelter it was at. Waited in line. At first, I couldn't get her because someone else got her. I was like, oh, you know what? That's okay. I cried on the way home. That's okay. A week later, they called again. Hey, it didn't work out. Are you still interested? Boom. I was there that day, and she is now in our home.
And what's her name?
Icy. And Icy. Her name is Icy because she went to the ice.
Yeah.
Famous. There's all the news.
See?
All the news.
He's like a gigantic.
Isn't that amazing?
A warm heart. Right? That is so sweet.
Guy ever.
That is the best. All right. Guys, good
love
luck.
It.
Again.
I'm going to cry now.
Aces. Aces.
I'm all in.
AcesUpTourney.com. AcesUpTourney.com. Go to that site. Go get your tickets. Next Thursday night, Aces Up Charity Poker Tournament benefiting Urban Prep Academies.
It's a ton of fun.
Hockey coming your way in 2 minutes.